This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening. It's me, the Monk. Have you ever listened to Trash Station Thoughts? That doesn't seem too hard. I can do that. Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
I showed Joey that I slammed my penis in the car door meme. It's not about understanding it. Half the memes, right? That's how it always starts, though. Cheers. You don't understand the meme when you first get introduced.
Yeah.
But you understand it through a weird repetition and kind of mutual respect of not really understanding what the fuck is going on,
right.
But it's kind of funny.
But like, you know, most memes is like, you know, you can change it up a bit. You know, you can make a derivative. I don't know how much you can derive.
You'll be surprised. it's like the whole steamed hams thing, right? It can be pushed as much as it wants to. By the way, welcome to this episode of the Trash Taste Show. I don't know what episode we're on. Not that we say the episode.
The Trash Taste Show.
I guess we just like found ourselves in a topic before we even like started the show.
But welcome. Right. I'm your host, Connor, with the boys, Joey and Gone.
Call this segment Nice Cock.
in the time.
Because going back to the memes, I don't understand why I find things funny anymore. Like, I just sometimes, like, I don't know why bass boosted things are funny, but like, it just appears in the meme sometimes, and I just like laugh.
I think we're slowly breaking down the human psyche and the human consciousness and what is objectively funny. And for some reason, seeing an orangutan and some man going, uh-oh, stinky, seems to always make me laugh. And I can't tell you why. There's no deeper meaning. I'm just fucking stupid. Yeah. And I've been hacked by this system that somehow works against me.
It's just like the perfect science of just like the right noises and the right images.
You know it's bad when I could show that to a five-year-old and they would be unamused, but I'm there just pissing myself, like crying, laughing. And it's like, what has happened? Have we been hacked in a way that like allows our brain to revert to like 1 year old and find things funny? Because I don't know anymore.
I don't know. I feel like the internet's just like broken our sense of humor. Like, why is the peak of internet comedy just perfectly cut screams? Like, that is just
that will
like
never not be funny.
I know, but why is this so funny? Like, I hear a scream, I sleep. If you cut it just once, like a millisecond in, it's fucking like comedy genius.
Because imagining the disaster is way funnier than seeing a disaster. Like, it's like, you know, you've probably seen a lot of videos, right? Where there's like punchlines where people use like massive explosions as the punchline.
Yeah.
But you never think like, what was that explosion? Was that a...
what was blowing up?
Did people die? Yeah. explosion go bruh. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
true.
Stuff is way funnier when you don't have... When you can imagine what happens.
That's almost, true.
In some aspects, right?
Like, what do you think is a meme that will just like, you'll find funny in 5 years?
Any Wii Sports meme for me. Like, the moment that music starts playing, I'm like... Before the joke even starts, the moment I hear the music, it's already funny.
I'd like to think when I'm 50 years old that there's somebody I can go to and I'll be like, what's 9 plus 10? And then I'll be like, 21. And I'll be like, yes! And then we'll like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The same way that my parents mentioned some weird 60s BBC show that I spotted thing. I'd like to think that's what it's going to be like, you know?
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, they'll be like, so no head. And I'm like 16, I'm like pissing myself. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. We're in this weird time where I think humor is going to be so fucked. And like,
oh yeah. I mean, it's fucked month by month, let alone what it's going to be like in like 1 or 2 years.
I just think all humor is just going to be like some Morse code jokes or something. In
yeah,
future.
Probably.
You know, I don't
know. We're just going to hear do-do-do-do-do and just fucking piss ourselves off.
It's going to be like visual, like, what is it? Braille. And then he said, and it's like just Braille on the screen. We're going to be like pissing it. And it's going to be like,
That just sounds like a hilarious meme.
That could be a meme. This is where memes are going.
Bass boosted Braille?
I'm laughing at the thought of shitty memes. You know?
Like, bass boosted Braille? Can you imagine this? Why is that?
And this is the thing.
The idea of that just sounds hilarious.
Did
to
we just
me.
Go on with a new meme?
And it's weird because being friends with someone like Chris, right? Yeah. Is that where Chris is just on the, Chris is in the weirdest spot, I think. Because I've shown memes to Chris where Chris will break down laughing.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely stupid. Mm-hmm. But I've also shown him memes where his boomer side comes out. Right. And he's definitely what is this? What is this nonsense? Why is there flashing noises and deep fried? What is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Chris is in that really interesting spot where he's like, Chris can be a boomer when he wants to be a boomer, but he also enjoys Gen Z here when he wants to.
That's true.
And I find that really interesting. Because I'm totally like, my humor is so fucked now.
Yeah.
I can only laugh at stuff when it's like bass boosted and farting noises.
I feel that.
I'm a child.
I feel that because it's gotten to a point where I don't know why I find the things I do funny. Yeah. I just know I find it funny and there's no like formula to it. There's nothing I can break down to be like, haha, that was why the punchline was funny. You know,
you can't explain half the memes.
Yeah, the problem is it's if you have a favorite comedian, you can be like, watch their stand-up special.
Yeah.
If I bass boosted Daffy Duck slamming his penis in the car door with Parappa the Rapper there. Yeah. How the fuck do I begin to explain what I'm into?
Just send a YouTube link. But then, trust me, this has 10 million views. It's funny.
Here's the problem with sending people weird ass memes like that. Yeah. It's like, and I've had this because I've been on the receiving end of memes.
I think everyone has.
Well, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And it's just this, we've turned comedy into this weird kind of niche where it's like, it's like the equivalent of liking some weird German techno band now. And it's like, that's what comedy is now.
Because to get like a lot of the most funniest memes to me is it takes like 10 layers of meme levels.
You gotta go deep.
Yeah. It's something that if you're not invested in this one, in like one meme aspect, then you're just not gonna get the meme because it's just gonna be random. Yeah,
the joke of the meme is like a reference to another joke in another meme and so on and so forth. So it's like-
What the fuck is this coffee? Hold on. Wait, what? Does your coffee taste weird?
What does it taste like?
Wait, what's wrong with it?
Tastes like coffee.
What kind of, is it instant coffee?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's very.
Oh, what the fuck?
Coffee's what Malin usually makes.
Is it really?
That's some bass boosted coffee.
Yeah. Right?
This is what I would describe as a crunchy coffee.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Have you had these coffee before?
No. But
what do they do? Sorry. That threw me off.
Yeah.
Did you mind?
Sir, go ahead.
Go ahead.
A coffee review with Navi.
Oh, it's coffee.
What the fuck?
It tastes stale, yeah.
Did the Nespresso let us down? What's going on? Is it the milk?
Is this the betrayal of
Is it the milk?
Get the operation. Send in the presses. Find out what happened
here.
Might
be the milk.
Oh, that's funky.
Like, I just don't bother to try and keep up with memes anymore. Just because, like, it's like, I already thought the fucking Uganda Knuckles meme went by so goddamn fast. Yeah. And now I've realized that Uganda Knuckles sticking around for a month was a feat of accomplishment for me.
I mean, I still find Uganda Knuckles.
I think 5 years ago, it's even quite different from how memes are now.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, I feel like, okay, 5 years ago, we had memes and we had like 3 or 4 that were pretty big.
Mm. Yeah.
And you wouldn't really hear about other memes. But now there's always like 10 memes going on at once. maybe one of them will kind of get somewhat mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, I don't even mean mainstream like normal audiences. I mean like
on the internet.
The Twitter spheres.
Yeah.
Because there are so many memes. Like if you ever watch Lesson in Meme Culture, do you watch that channel?
Nah.
Guy who discusses memes. And there's like every day there's a new meme.
Yeah. Right.
But most of these memes live and die in the week. And I don't consider them like memes. If this is a niche thing that gets used a little bit in some communities and doesn't really take off, I'm like, you don't really need to keep up with this because it's scarcely anything to give a shit about.
Yeah.
Found out why, we're using almond, not soy milk.
No,
this doesn't taste like almond milk.
No?
I use almond milk with my coffee
all the time. That's almond,
It's the coffee that tastes weird.
Is it?
I think it's the combination of the almond and the coffee.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean like, if there are some memes that you see and you're like, this is gonna die off within 2 days.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if a meme is too easily replicated that like your mom could do it, then it's not a good meme. You know what I mean?
I feel with like some memes, it's like, okay, like a video with like 10 million views pops up. It's like, cool, that went viral. But it's like, you can't do anything else with it.
Yeah.
So it just ends up being this one video that has a lot of views and then it gets forgotten over time.
I think a perfect meme, right, is one meme when you initially watch or discover it, you think, this is fucking stupid.
Mm. Yeah.
And then third time you're like, okay.
Have you witnessed a perfect meme yet? As the meme master.
I think vocabulary does that quite a lot. Like the word like bussing.
Yeah.
I actually despised it when I first heard it. Yeah. But somehow it just grew on me.
Yeah.
And now I find it hilarious. And I don't know why I can't stop saying it. But like D's nuts.
Yeah.
Like D's nuts is not funny. Like scientifically speaking, D's nuts is not funny.
Speak for yourself. I find it hilarious.
But I'll fucking laugh. I will laugh every goddamn time.
I'll find any opportunity I can to say D's
nuts. It's one of those
nuts.
Memes where you laugh and you like hate yourself for laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like dabbing.
Yeah.
It's the modern equivalent of whipping yourself. Yeah. But mentally, you're just like, fuck. Yeah. Have to schedule a better help call after this.
I feel like a lot of memes now are also like platform dependent. Like there are like so many like TikTok trends and TikTok memes that I like are massive on the platform, but like we don't like get exposed to it at all.
No.
And feel like it's only like the super, if like it's a super, super big meme, if it like goes off of the TikTok platform and you see it on Twitter or on like YouTube as well.
True.
Is Japanese TikTok good?
No.
Because right, and I know-
Is TikTok good?
I'm gonna say this right. I'm gonna say this
I
right.
Think
I'm gonna say
good.
This right now, right?
Yeah.
Before people fucking accuse me of
being
like, oh, this is what the content gives you, blah, blah, blah. I downloaded TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Fresh account.
Yep.
First thing I open it, right? So it knows I'm in Japan.
It's automatically Japanese TikTok.
It's automatically Japanese TikTok.
Yeah. What do you think comes up? And like, I'm scrolling for a while. What do you think comes up?
Well, my experience?
Yeah.
From my experience, it's just a lot of like Japanese girls dancing.
God damn it, that's all it was.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It was literally Japanese women, right?
Yeah.
And they're very beautiful, very attractive.
Yeah.
Not even dancing. No. Just like moving their arms slightly.
They just like-
And they normally have assets that are bigger than normal.
Yeah.
And that was all it was.
Yeah. Great.
I scrolled through like 50 TikToks and maybe out of the 50, I didn't pause any of them. I'm just scrolling.
Yeah.
Brand new account, nothing. All it knew is that I was probably male. I'm guessing it knew that from the App Store.
Yeah,
or some
shit.
And that's all it was.
Yeah,
they were like, you'll enjoy this type of content. Yeah. You are a Japanese male,
and I was just like, don't get me wrong. There is a time and a place for this.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
Yeah.
This is not what I want.
I
want
to see the memes.
I am not a kind of person. All right, I am. I don't know if this is like a. It's just like, sorry. Sigma male grind set. I don't want to see.
I hate how you said that.
I don't want to see like women or.
Sorry, that sounds so bad. Go on, say it. Say it.
I don't want to see women.
I don't want to see shit that is trying to make me horny when I'm not horny.
Right.
I want to watch stuff like that, I'm just going to go and watch porn.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
It's very obvious what audience that is. Am I allowed to say that? That's like women just dancing and showing off boobs.
Like, I mean, it's been like that since the beginning of probably time.
Look, I'm fine with that content, but I don't want that most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's
there's only so much of that kind of content you can consume.
Yeah, right? It's the same reason why, you know, everyone hated the old, remember when like YouTube went through this epidemic of the reply girls?
Yeah.
Where it was just, you know, girls, you know, with
scantily clad clothes. Like,
I have absolutely nothing against people who want to make that content.
No, exactly.
I support all that stuff, and any sex workers, you keep doing what you want to do, man. I wish there was more protection around stuff like that. Obviously, this is very different. But it's just for me personally, most of the time when I see that stuff, I'm not the audience they're trying to appeal to, because I don't want to. That doesn't. I don't see that stuff and I'm not like, oh, this is the content I want to see.
Right. Well, you're also like, not a horny teenager anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, but right? To me, it's like, as someone who is 25, I'm doing my own thing, whatnot. To me, when I see a girl dancing as a content creator, I'm just like, okay, what am I following for here?
Yeah.
What if I want to follow this creator, what am I coming back for?
Yeah.
To watch them dance? Like, when it's not dancing.
It's not dancing. It's like your 50-year-old aunt at a wedding.
They do this
dancing.
Fucking same thing every time, right? They just go like this.
Yeah. It's like your 50-year-old aunt at a wedding, you know? Yeah. It's just the bare minimum of movement. And it's like that, this is right? Dancing.
Right? I God, this conversation respect me sounds so sexist. And I'm not trying to be.
No. It's not the content we personally want to see, right?
That's not even like the worst kind of like I don't know what the genre is, but like the sleaze bait or whatever. I don't even know what the genre is. I remember seeing
it's obviously sexual and it's trying to appear. And anyone like who sees that video and says it's not sexual, it's complete bullshit.
No, it is absolutely.
You know who
sexual.
You're appealing to.
I mean, it's very obvious that like at least in Japan and I assume with the rest of the world too that like the main demographic of TikTok is like teenage boys and girls, right? Yeah. So obviously. What are teenage boys going to enjoy?
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That kind of sleaze. No,
because I remember like the other trends that I saw on TikTok was it was like girls who are obviously, you know, very confident and, you know, trying to, what was I going to say? It was girls that had this audio that played.
Is that
which
the
was,
bussin?
No. It was like-
That one's a good one.
If we had 24 hours with me alone-
Oh, that one.
And I couldn't say no- Okay. What would you do?
And yeah. I'm just like, the memes are good with that one.
Yeah. and I'm just like, most of the memes I've seen of that are like parodies of that. Yeah. But that just means that there are enough people doing this unironically to parody in the first place, right?
That's why like it's been parodied so much because it is so oversaturated and it is such, it's bait.
It's like, it's such right? sleaze bait, right?
You know, and this is a new coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Let me just give this a taste. Oh. Coffee gate, trash taste.
Coffee gate?
Coffee gate.
Best taste coffee.
Is it better?
It still tastes funny. I don't know what's happened. There's something offensive. I'm not offended, but I'm like, come on, man. Just because I log on the platform, you got to show me this shit.
Yeah.
Like, at least give me something else to look at so you can kind of figure me out.
Like,
you know?
give a little bit of variance, right?
I'm like, in the content. Why are you gonna assume what I'm into, man? Yeah. Like, yeah, she's beautiful. Good for her. I'm glad she's killing it. I'm glad she's got 20 million views every goddamn second. Good for her. Why did you assume I was into it?
No, but that's the thing, right? It's like, I wouldn't even be mad if it was just, you know, popping up every now and then, right? It's like, yeah of course, you know, it has to appeal to that demographic. But like, yeah, I had the exact same experience. When I opened it, it was like 49 out of 50, which is different girls.
I'm not mad because I want to be like headline. Man gets mad that woman is dancing. Like, that's not it. But also-
a little bit of variance doesn't hurt anyone, right?
No, so it just means like the algorithm hasn't been tailored for you yet.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And but that's just but like-
I was kind of sad that's what it was. Like that if you were a new user in Japan, and I assume they know my age and maybe my gender.
Yeah. Well, it just means like algorithmically, and that is the content.
That's the kind of content that works the best, apparently.
And I'm guessing it's because there's a certain age range and a demographic that the algorithm puts you in. And they're just like, this person wants to see this kind of content.
Yeah. You want to see horny content? We got you, bro.
And I mean, everyone knows sex sells and it's always been that like that since the beginning of
I just very much like my horny separate from my life.
Yes.
I like it. I like when
tell that to the man who likes hentai on Twitter.
Right? Well, I can look at hentai, right? And I can just be like, nice. But I don't feel anything towards it. But when I'm like, all right, I'm now going to jack off. Then I'm like, all right.
What, do you think I'm jacking off to everything I like on
Twitter? No. But that's
what
I mean.
I'm just scrolling through. No, like, I don't know. Yeah, no, but I'm the same, right? It's like, I don't like all these like hentai pics on Twitter because I'm fucking feeling horny. I'm just oh, that's cool artwork.
I don't know really. Why is it? Because when you see hentai, you're like you're offended by it. But sometimes you can see someone trying to be sexy, and it can be annoying. I don't know. Because you're like,
well, I think it's the difference between just someone trying to be sexy and someone who's put art into it, right? I think the same way. Except when I see like a fucking amazing cosplayer, for example.
I love seeing cosplay.
I love seeing great cosplay, even if some of them are like very suggestive. It doesn't matter because someone put work into this. Yeah. Someone did a fucking photo shoot and it looks fucking great, you know? And I feel like that is the difference between just like seeing hentai or your like really sexy cosplays on your timeline versus just seeing, you know, I don't know what to like sleaze bait. I'm just gonna call it that.
No, I get that.
I mean, cosplay is amazing, and there's plenty of lewd stuff out there that I enjoy. But that's why I like Twitter, because you can get like 50 memes and a bunch of lewd stuff all in the same place.
Right. There's variants, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if I use TikTok more and it figured out that I liked other stuff. I don't know why. I was just kind of like, I know, and every ad in Japan is like that as well. I don't know if it's Japan. It might be just Japan that's like this, but like every ad I get in Japan as well is like porn or like dating sites.
Like dating sites,
It is literally like, the number one ad that I get on Twitter is this one website where you can hire girls to speak to you.
Oh, I've seen that one.
And I get it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is sad that this is like the number one thing.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's a whole nother thing about loneliness in Japan.
I genuinely don't even think, like, even after it gets tailored, like, that will go away, because I feel that just the main demographic in Japan might be.
I mean, like, how much
like
have you used TikTok? Because I guess you use TikTok more.
I mean, I don't, when I say I'm on TikTok, I'm not really like religiously on TikTok. I just go onto it every now and then when I'm like, there's nothing to see on Twitter. But again, it's like, I haven't used it enough that I see a variance of all sorts of content. I'm still at that early stage where I see 49 out of 50 girls dancing.
Right? Yeah, same here, like, which is why like I found myself watching more YouTube shorts, because it seems most of them are just recycled TikToks anyway.
Yeah.
But I already have a YouTube profile, and so a lot of the content is already tailored to the stuff I've watched on YouTube.
Yeah.
And every time I log into TikTok, I don't see a lot of these TikTok trends that have just become viral.
Yeah.
You know, even though everyone seems to be talking about them, I'm just like, well, it's not appearing on my timeline. I don't know what my profile is set to.
I take TikTok trends very lightly now.
Have you seen some of the latest ones?
Like what?
Like, no,
to date this episode, by
like
the way.
I remember a month ago, I just wanted to die inside because there was this trend called like devious licks.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Or something.
Yeah,
which was just, okay, so stealing. Devious licks are just people who just went to like bathrooms and kids would start stealing like the soap dispensers.
Okay.
And then it started off as that. And then you know how TikTok is, you know how the internet is. It starts escalating to the point where people are just full on like, you know, they're stealing like sinks, road signs.
Yeah.
And then there's like people that stole whole vending machines.
Oh my God.
Okay, hold on. How the fuck do you steal a vending machine?
I don't know. How do you do that?
I mean, I don't know. You have to praise some of the logistical abilities here.
Yeah.
But it is stealing.
But at the same time, you're just like committing like almost grand theft auto and just putting out on the internet to see.
It was a trend that was widely condemned on every YouTuber under the sun.
Of course.
Made a video condemning it. I mean, it's easy. It's a slam dunk when you're a YouTuber to be like, hey guys, stealing? Bad. Applause now, please.
Yeah.
I will take my applause, you know.
I just can't get over that someone had the balls to steal a vending machine. I didn't even think Repo Men are allowed to do that.
Man, all the treats will still get stuck anyways.
That's true.
I'm just more surprised that just people were just stealing and then filming themselves stealing.
Yeah. Well, people aren't so smart when clout is offered.
Yeah, clout is clout offered. You, yeah.
Clout,
when clout is on the table, anything goes.
Yeah.
Function like a normal human being or prison time.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Couch Guy? Or the Couch Guy?
No.
That sounds very familiar.
That was the latest trend as well.
What's that?
I heard about.
I'm scared to ask what that is.
So it was this girl who basically visited her boyfriend in college, right?
Yeah.
And she walks in, and the guy, her boyfriend, is sitting on a couch, and he doesn't seem as excited as, you know, maybe one would expect.
Okay.
So he acts a little bit awkward, you know, and he eventually gets up and hugs her, right?
Okay.
TikTok takes this like 30 second clip and was like, he's cheating on her.
He literally like went like full Netflix documentary, true crime. Yeah. Analyzing frame by frame. And like, it was insane. And it was just like the worst part of the internet. Just like,
so was he cheating on her?
No, they said no. But they were like, yo, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Big fact.
Maybe
he just wasn't excited.
No, exactly, right? There could be so many ways you could spin this narrative, right? And there were like literally people just full on projecting their narrative towards this 30 second clip. Like, I saw this one TikTok that was just like, the girl released a statement that was like that, and she said, you know, there's nothing more to this clip. I'm friends with all the girls.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to worry about it. I know the girls.
Yeah.
And this one woman posted a TikTok being like, girl, you don't need to worry. You don't have friends because I've seen friends like them. They are not your friends. Friends should be excited when their friend steps into the room. We've all been in that position. Maybe I'm just like, just
if there's
I'm
just anything,
like, yeah, I know, right?
If there's anything worse than an internet detective, it's an internet therapist. Like those are the worst, where it's like, let me tell you why your life sucks. And even though you say it's great,
yeah,
but it doesn't. Let me tell you why. It's like, dude, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, I there is no way you can break down this much of a narrative through a 30-second interaction.
God, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing about the internet, right? Where
it's like some Zodiac killer shit. It's like,
it is. It literally
they
was.
They found killer, him out, though.
I was. Have they found him?
Yeah, they found him recently. Yeah,
they found him. He died, and he left a review for the movie.
Did he?
He left a review for the Zodiac.
Wait, is this confirmed?
Yeah, it's confirmed.
How did they find him?
He died in like 2017 or something. It was like quite a while ago.
How they found him? There was some scars, and I can't remember exactly. It doesn't really matter. They found him basically, and he left a. I don't care how they found him. I wanted to know what he thought about the movie.
Yeah,
and he left a review on the IMDb page.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he say it was good or?
I think he didn't like it. I don't know. That's just kind of funny, even though it's funny. Mass murderer reviews his own movie. I don't know why. I just fucking weird.
Jesus Christ.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
By the way, before we move on, I forgot to give you something last week, Joey. Because me and Sid got a bunch of omiyage for everyone. Oh. And I said to Sid, I was going to give this to you on the podcast, but here's some tea.
I got some tea!
I did get Joey omiyage. I gave it to him last week off camera.
Yeah.
You're trying to shill my friendship.
Well, no, that's perfect, because you gave me cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
And you gave me tea, so it's like the perfect combination.
Cookies, biscuits,
whatever.
Biscuits.
No, because do you know what I've realized Piccadilly. After like buying omiyage for Ooh. People from English omiyage?
Oh, very cute.
Very cute.
It's a tea set.
Nice. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no worries. No, because what I've realized
We're friends. Guys, look, analyze that clip. Analyze it. Analyze that frame by frame.
Well, Joey...
He hesitated for half a second.
Joey wasn't excited as I thought he would be.
Joey wasn't that excited. Does that mean there's some shit going on? There's some shit going on?
He's definitely cheating.
I mean, you tell a lie. You joke, but I mean, there is some kind of truth in that in some aspects. I have seen people on Reddit or on the comments super analyzing our reactions to things.
Like what?
I can't remember. There's been a lot though. They'll be like, oh wow, Connor seems really sad today.
Yeah, but Reddit's like a fucking free-for-all when it comes to that kind
of
stuff.
True.
Yeah. They just say what they want to say.
It is interesting though, seeing how people perceive us sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way.
Yeah, because doesn't everyone always say that you always look angry or like tired or something?
Everyone's like, oh Connor, I mean, I am tired a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's because I wake up early. But some people are like, he's angry. And I'm like, no, that's just how I am.
That's just his resting face.
Yeah, you'll know if I'm angry. Yeah. will you? Maybe you'll know.
I don't know.
I'll storm off.
Yeah. He just won't be here. Reddit, I've seen some stuff on Reddit where it's like, wow, it ain't that deep, bro. Like, you didn't have to go that deep into it.
You know, it's difficult because on one aspect, I understand that all they have to go off of us is our episodes,
of course.
And that's all they have to go off of.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, by any stretch of the imagination, say that Trash Taste is reflective of, I guess it is reflective of who I am, but you miss a lot of nuance, right? Like it's very easy to generalize who we are. And it also is a show, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we do, you know, I won't lie, there's times where I'm like, I'm going to keep this argument going because it's great content.
Yeah. A lot of the times some of the arguments I get into with Connor or Joey are not arguments I'd get into with a random stranger.
Right, because I would just, I don't, even though I do feel strongly about a lot of things, as you guys know very well, I also in general life just don't give a shit to argue.
Yeah.
But I like arguing in this space with the boys.
I didn't even give a shit on the show.
Joey just like fucking trash tastes like Switzerland.
I'm literally that meme with the guy in the background with the bong. Just like, I don't care.
Sometimes I do like to be able to explore other sides of opinions as
Yeah.
But it also is like, if it is a, you know, sometimes there are controversial opinions.
Yeah.
But they are opinions, and they are sometimes commonly held opinions. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I would like to play devil's advocate in some situations without having to be like, Connor is that kind of person. He's
just to get the conversation going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, we've always said we don't want to be a circle jerk.
No.
And I always want to be able to talk about topics and say things.
Yeah.
It just makes more for a more interesting
show,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, if anything, I would wish that sometimes people would like not assume exactly our thoughts and opinions on things based off certain things.
This episode is sponsored by Harry's.
Guys, are you heading back to the office anytime soon?
I'm in the office right now.
Time to get back fresh, clean, and all shaven looking business-like and let Harry's help you guys.
If you don't know Harry's, it's time you do, because Harry's was created to be hitting different from other shaving companies.
Ooh.
You see that little reference? Harry's crafts high quality, long lasting blades and durable weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, dare we say, enjoyable?
Ooh. And because Harry's insists that you shouldn't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price, they just give you both. Ooh. Refilling blades starts as low as $2.
Even easier, new Harry's customers get their starter set, which includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming gel with aloe, and a travel cover. It's a $13 value, all for just $3. Three? Are you serious? Wow.
Three?
Is that a typo? Damn, that is insane value. And they have a bunch of other products. And now I've actually used Harry's a bunch myself when I went to the UK. When I was getting on the plane, I actually saw Harry's in the store. And
oh, really?
I wanted to buy more, but there's none in Japan. And I actually bought a bunch. Nice. So I have
a stockpile. So you're literally stocked up on Harry's.
So there's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/trash to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com/trash right now to get its special offer.
That's harrys.com/trash. Links down in the description below. Back to the episode.
Like, one thing that I hate about the internet, right? And this is one thing that I absolutely despise about being an online creator, is that, so if I want to talk bad about something, I always have to preface it before, right? And we did this earlier with the thing with, like, me saying, like, I don't want to see, you know, girls dancing that is trying to entice, you know, that's trying to appeal to it. I have to then preface that by saying, I support sex work and all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think it should be a given that that's
You'd think
what,
so.
Right. So that's the way I feel. But it sucks on the internet that I have to always preface that, okay, I support this.
Yeah.
But, and I hate that fact that I can't just talk. I have to then be like, go through the checklist. Okay, I want to talk about this stuff. All right, cool. I got to make sure everyone knows that I support this. And it's like, no. Just,
you got to read out the fine print, right?
Because someone is always going to assume the worst of you. Mm. They're always going to assume that what you're saying is the worst thing, and it's coming from a bad place that they don't agree with. You can't say anything bad about something that they agree with because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's over the internet, especially. If it was in person, it'd probably be a different thing.
Because that's the biggest thing I've noticed about speaking online on the internet and speaking to someone person to person. You like online, you do have to preface a lot of things because it seems like in person to person, people are more willing to give you the benefit of the doubt.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And online, people aren't willing to give you the benefit of the doubt a lot of the times.
I think the other problem as well is that on the internet, it's very much a one-way conversation.
Yeah.
So you have to give your entire spiel all in one go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, if they do reply back to you, then it's not going to be this conversation. It's just going to be like shooting the messenger kind of deal, right? And it's like, it sucks that on the internet, you know, common sense isn't as common as people make it out to
be. Like, you know, when we say bad things about Japan, right? That comes from a place of loving Japan and being here for a while. We're here for a reason, right? We love this place.
Mm. Yeah.
And we love living here. But it sucks that every time, this has only happened to Japan. In the UK, I never have to say I love the UK.
Yeah.
No.
Only with Japan do you have to say, I love Japan, but.
But, yeah.
Like, because it has this weird stigma, but there's a lot of topics that you have to do that on the internet. If you want to say anything bad about it, you have to be like, I love this thing, but
yeah.
And if you don't say that before, people are like,
then they assume you're against
you. You come from a place of hating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating that that's what it's become, because I feel that there are so many discussions that are so fucking bloated because you have to fucking go through the checklist of all this fucking nonsense.
That is the biggest difference between us talking in a pub, and us talking on Trash Taste, which we have the same kind of conversations.
Yeah.
But it's like you put yourself through a buffer. Or a safety net,
right.
of the things you're about to say. Whereas I wouldn't need to do that if like there were no cameras filming.
It's like putting on the seatbelt, but like there's 50. Like the whole like way, way back with the gambling episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, I never, ever once thought for a second when we were doing that episode, right? And yeah. This is probably like a quite well-known episode amongst the viewers.
Yeah.
That you guys were addicted to gambling.
Right.
I know you guys. You guys are not addicted to gambling. Uh-huh. At no point in your life would I say you
need gambling. We never had of an addiction.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, and it was weird how, because we didn't preface that,
yeah.
Because we didn't say, because you, even though you guys were playing devil's advocate to me, yeah. And I was very much arguing in Gacha specifically,
yeah.
That there should be more regulation and that it should be like that. And you guys were just playing devil's advocate with me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know that you guys aren't addicted to Gacha,
yeah.
But it was weird seeing a lot of the comments just jump to conclusions and being like, they must be addicted to Gacha because they don't agree with Connor's opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, you can not gamble and not be a gambler, but yeah. Also think that Gacha doesn't need any more regulation.
That's the problem, right? Is that if you don't specify, then they think that you're on the very end of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? It was just it's like you're not allowed to be in the middle.
Yeah,
it was just weird seeing all the comments getting so aggressive about it.
Yeah.
Like people got like angry about it. And it's happened on a few other episodes as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it kind of happened quite recently with you, isn't it?
Yeah,
with like
yeah,
the
yeah,
drip
yeah.
debates.
Oh my God.
Which like, I think the problem with that was that we were arguing like two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so that was a weird one. That was really weird. Yeah.
And people took me, because I was trying to argue that, you know, you can have drip no matter how much you pay for it or how much the clothes are worth. Mm. And you were arguing that, you know, don't support fast fashion and you try to buy things or buy clothes that are more sustainable and good for the environment.
Yeah.
And you care more about quality nowadays. And people took that as, wow, Connor and Joey have just like lost their way.
People are like, wow, Connor's so goddamn privileged. And by most metrics, I am privileged, right?
Yeah.
I won't, you know, I'm never pretending to be like I come from a really far off. Yeah, I've never pretended, right? And everyone's like, you know, it was really fucking weird that was because at no point in that argument did I ever argue that drip had to be expensive clothes. Mm. My main argument was that the word drip initially came from, you know, when
high-end fashion.
When you were like the rappers who would wear drip and it was all branded. It had to be branded, you know, that was my argument. And at no point did I ever argue that cheap clothes didn't look good.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the comment section took me arguing that I prefer quality clothes, not looks, quality. Like I prefer stuff that lasts longer and that I don't support fast fashion and all that. They were like, oh, well, you know, all the high-end ones are using slave labor anyway. It's like, well, then you're just generalizing it. You're putting the ball in the bubble.
Exactly.
But I never made that argument.
Right.
And it was really bizarre.
You didn't. Like, I guess the issue was that you didn't put that safety net
right,
there.
Right, because I didn't say, I never, and at no point did I say drip has to equal money.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. Because I didn't say that, people assumed that I was thinking that.
People love to assume.
And what's even funnier is at one point, because I watched it back, Joey joked saying, drip is expensive. You were joking though, right?
Yeah.
But Joey, it was mainly me people were outing. And I was like, I never even made that. I was like, what is happening? And it was like, the whole comment was like, Connor's privilege is really showing, man. He's, and I'm like, what? And they're like, man, they think with a first world mindset. And I was thinking that like, I was like, I'm from a first world country.
Yeah,
of course I'm going to think I'm trying my best to learn and to expand my horizons and learn more about other countries. But you know, I'm obviously going to think through a first world perspective.
Yeah.
Like that's because that's my world.
Right.
I don't like, is it wrong of me to have that perspective?
No, because I feel that's the only perspective.
But like
have.
I'm trying to learn about other things, right?
Yeah, I mean, but in the case with that argument, it's very difficult to bring in a different perspective
without it making
sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think the argument is that, you know, yes, do you support sustainable fashion? But a lot of people from third world countries being able to support sustainable fashion is in itself a privilege because
a lot
of people can't do that, you know, some people do at the moment have no choice but to buy cheap fashion because they can hardly 100%. Afford
and
anything else.
That's completely
never hold it against anyone. Yeah. You know, when I was buying those, I mentioned like when I was buying the suit that was like £30, right?
Yeah.
That was because that was all I could afford.
Yeah.
Right? There was no other option.
Yeah.
I couldn't even like entertain the idea of getting a suit that cost £100, right? But obviously when you're doing better and you have more income, I do think it's more of a responsible thing to do to try and buy things more ethically.
But that's the thing, right? It's like in that episode, you never once said,
right,
fuck your income, buy expensive clothes.
And, and then there was the, I remember seeing this other argument of like, well, you know, they just overpriced the clothes, et cetera, et cetera. And I, sometimes they do
yeah,
that.
They do.
But also, you know, it's I've had this debate coming from, you know, doing voice acting a lot, which is a job that takes 1 hour most of the time.
Yeah.
And you can get paid like $10,000.
Yeah.
Most people would think that's, would argue that's absurd. You should never get paid that much for 1 hour of work. But it's the it's what goes into being able to do it in 1 hour.
Yeah.
The reason why I could do that in 1 hour is because I'm trained and I can do the job professionally. Yeah. I know how to use the equipment. I know how to do everything in a way where you couldn't just take someone.
You get the quality out of it, right?
You get somebody who can do the quality that you want within 1 hour in a professional way. And it's the same way with clothes to me. Like if I want a suit, right?
Absolutely.
If I am in a good enough position to be able to afford a suit that is a nice suit, and I can get it made for me specifically, right? And get it, because, you know, I have the problem that I have short legs, massive ass. Okay. So pants don't scale like that. They scale wide and down, right? Yeah, so normally, the pants I have to get like fitted because my ass is too fucking thick.
You're just
thick.
Too dummy thick,
I'm
dude.
I'm too dummy thick! So like, that was always a fucking challenge, right? I always had jeans that were either too short or too tight, right? And I still have that problem because you can't get tailor-fit jeans. It doesn't fucking easy. They probably can.
Without paying egregious amounts of money.
I don't know where they are, but suits are really easy to get fitted.
Yeah.
So I think as well, like, so if you were to get, like, let's say you go to a tailor, right? Mm. You're paying a tailor who knows how to do it well. He's done this for like 20 years. He's experienced his whole life. He can promise you that he'll do a good deal. It's worth the extra money if you have the money and you know you can support a local business if it is one, right? Yeah. I think if you, again, this is only if you have the luxury. Like, it's certainly a privilege to be able to do that. And I would never, ever get in anyone's case for not doing that.
Well, I mean,
if you gotta do what you gotta do to survive, right? Yeah. Fuck everyone else. Right,
but that's the thing. It's like, what I don't understand is the criticism towards, like, how you spend your own hard-earned money. It's like, it's like, I earned that money myself. I'll do with that money however I please. It's like, leave me alone. Okay,
that's a good point as well. Like,
you're not taking care of my finances. It's like, why you care?
Listen, the only questionable decision I make is my JoJo collection, right? I'll give you props for that. That's it. But everything, compare us to other YouTubers. I think we're pretty fucking normal.
Yeah, right? I think so too.
Where is our Lambos? Yeah. Do you have a Lambo gone?
No.
When I rent a car, you know what car I rent?
What?
A Toyota Yaris. I love the Toyota
That's
Yaris.
That's a great car.
It is a great car.
The mileage on that car is fantastic. Yeah. It's perfect size. It's not too big.
We don't even nice own car. Cars.
No, I don't own
cars. I don't even have a license. I take the fucking train every day, dude.
I hate this thing where people are like, they judge us for what like we're fucking doing with our lives. And it's like, bro, just... Like, I don't come to your house and be like, really? Hot Pockets? Cringe, bro. Yeah. You could have got cheese puffs.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, what is this? I don't know.
Yeah, because like, going back to what you were saying about getting paid for, like, doing an hour of voice acting, getting paid, like, a certain amount that voice actors do get paid. And I give this example to like every artist, right? Yeah. Or anyone working in that kind of field, which is you have to ask the client then, okay, so would you rather pay the same amount for me to do this work in 5 hours or in 10 hours to get the same amount of work? And if they say yeah or no, then you can say that, okay, so I'm being punished for doing my job well efficiently in this time period. So you'd rather pay someone else to do the same work for more time, even though you're paying them for paying for the same amount of work, but you're paying them to do it less efficiently than you.
Yeah.
But like the perception is that because you're doing it this well, you're giving them the same amount of work for a shorter period of time that you're charging that much. And that's just how the industry is, you know?
Yeah.
You're not just paying for hours worked in, you're paying for skill as well. Mm. And skill is part of the pricing that you pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you know, when it's these big advertising companies, in what realm is it fair for your voice to be plastered over, say, McDonald's all over the country?
Yeah.
And
you get it's a branding
bucks.
Issue as well. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like it's they're using your voice. So you have a certain right to sell that, what it's worth, right?
Absolutely. Exactly.
There's a lot of jobs like that, like, you know, like the art design, graphic design,
modeling,
anything, you know, although like stuff like voice acting, I 100% admit, like it seems very easy from the outside, but to be able to do it consistently and perform what the person wants and be able to adjust and be able to do it all professionally is very difficult.
And be able to do it over and over again called back, right? Build a reputation.
I've still got a long way to go, man. There's people who are much better than me who can do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you want to make sure everyone's getting the right rate. And it's one of those tough decisions. Money is always one of those topics that is so polarizing depending on what's going on and where you're from and your opinions on it. Mm. Like, you know, I've had people close to me who have been like very critical of me earning money doing what I do.
Yeah.
And they've been like, well, I do X thing. Like, I do X thing that's more contributing to society. So I don't think it's right that you would get paid more than me.
Mm.
And that whole argument I absolutely despise as well.
Yeah, because it's like, what can you say to that will get them to understand, right?
Yeah, it's like nothing. if you work in like medicine or something and you firmly believe that you are doing something more important. I would argue you are doing something more important.
Yeah. You are.
But that's just business. That's how it is.
That's just how it works. Like, we don't make up the rules.
I think there are jobs that are far more important than the jobs that we have now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The fact that teachers get paid what they do, I think is tragic.
Fucking atrocious.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I think they should like get much better pay.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you got to do what you got to do. Make your own bag. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the world doesn't do any favors for you.
Yeah, that's not
like,
something we can do anything about, man, right?
I will advocate for change and I will do what I can from my position. Mm. But also, bro, this economy's rough. you know it's bad when it's like, yo, what the fuck? That YouTuber can afford a house?
Yeah. This guy just makes videos.
What world are we in where like now being wealthy is you can afford a house?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like I'm trying to secure my future because I don't know how long this job lasts.
Exactly.
I'm trying to do well while I can, you know? Yeah. And I would never criticize anyone who is trying to do what they need to do to succeed in life.
Yeah. Yeah. To a certain extent.
If you're not fucking over somebody, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, like as long as you're not actively hurting or ruining someone's life, you do what you got to do to get by and you do what you need to do, man. Yeah. I firmly believe that whatever you want to do, don't hurt anyone, go for it.
No, because I think one thing that one aspect of our job, which we wouldn't have as like a normal office worker, for example, is job security. Mm. Like if you want to get in this field and you want job security, I think we have negative job security. Yeah.
like, you know how hard it is to like, you know, when you apply for like credit cards or anything long-term financing, they want to know your annual income.
Yeah.
It is literally impossible to give a number as a YouTuber.
Yeah.
It's like the most roughest of estimates.
It's like, all right, so I'm going to be honest with you. It could be like 1K or it could be 20K or 100K. Like, so basically the whole spectrum of money. It could be any money.
Yeah, it's hard to go to a banker and go, well, I think the next video might do really well. just like, I'm pretty certain. So like, I'm thinking maybe like this much.
It must be like the banks when they first, you know, met YouTubers, they must have thought they were like horse gambling or something. Like, yo, I got a lucky feel about number seven next week, man. I'm telling you, man.
They were definitely like money laundering.
This is
what we think like NFTs are now, right? They were just like, you earn how much as a YouTuber? No, I ain't touching that.
Some money just comes in and you don't buy or sell anything.
What do you do? Who pays you?
Yeah, that's that.
I remember the first time like having to answer that question, like when applying for like our visas and stuff like that. And I'm having to explain who pays us. And I'm just like, well, Google? So they ask,
employment
agreement. So you work for Google, you're an employee of Google. Like, and you're like, no.
I kind of leech off me.
Yeah. So and then we have this thing called Patreon where people pay us to exist.
So you're employed to Patreon? It's like, no.
It's like every like red flag is being ticked.
Like
when you're a doctor, right? Your job is secure. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Unless you go around killing people, you're pretty good. Like, you know, it would be rough not to be employed.
Yeah.
Like,
I just realized how on paper, like how similar we must look to like a drug dealer,
100%.
Like laundering money. If you go to the checklist, so you get money put into your account.
I swear when I have to talk to accountants, man, it is the most stressful thing because they're just like, I can see on these Zoom calls, the look on their face while I'm telling them what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just like, Okay.
I find it hilarious just the situation of a drug dealer going to a bank to get a loan. It's like, so you sell drugs? Do you work for the pharmacy?
I haven't got the drugs yet. So this is kind of like, I don't know, collateral.
Drug dealers, what do you do? I'm a YouTuber. Yeah.
I provide a service.
I guess this is a timely topic. Well, not timely. It's still be like 3 weeks late, but the whole Twitch thing as well, right? The earnings.
Oh, yeah.
People finding out how much creators make. What was your number, Joey?
I don't even know. I was like probably 20,000 or something. I don't stream, so.
Well, you were in top 10,000. We were both leaked. Yeah.
Hell yeah! Let's go.
Feels bad, man. this is why I'm a man of the people. I am the man of the people. I represent the common folk.
He's doing God's work right here.
This man. Let's hope your
YouTube. You privileged white boy, sit in your corner.
I hope our YouTube earnings get leaked before this episode airs, so that this age is poorly forgotten.
Oh my god,
that was funny. It was funny seeing the reaction because, you know, as somebody who's been doing this, I was not surprised of seeing these numbers.
No, absolutely not.
And also, I always try and explain to people, you know, the reason why. Let's say XQC is earning 7 million and getting all this absurd amounts of money. What it seems like absurd is that, you know, that if let's the number one person in music is making billions, the number one person in TV is making millions, right? Yeah. The number one at anything is making shit tons of money.
Yeah.
If you're in the top 100 of something in the world, you're probably making a lot of money.
I mean, if someone was bothered to leak it, wouldn't you have a suspicion that it might be a lot of money?
Yeah. And also,
There's no point leaking something where the number one spot is making like $15.
Also, if for this to exist, right, for the system to exist where, let's say that creator you watch who is making 100 viewers, which is all of us at one time, right? Mm-hmm. We were all that one channel. I distinctly remember for a year or two, right, I only got like 40 to 100 viewers on Twitch, which I was very happy with.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was very good. For that person to be able to make income and somewhat support themselves, there has to be a person at the top who's proportionally making a lot more depending on the audience size, right?
Of course, yeah.
It's a system that works. Mm,
yeah.
Is it super fair that some people make fucking hundreds of millions? It's up to you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all I will say is that from what I saw, there is a lot more money on YouTube as opposed to Twitch,
I think,
what it seems.
For the amount of work you do as well, especially.
Yeah, I mean, the YouTube, like the top 100 YouTubers are probably making a lot more than the top 100 Twitch streamers.
I
understand.
I think
how it works.
I think so as well.
You look like Mr. Beast. There's no Mr. Beast on Twitch.
Excuse me, wishes.
And all the ones that are on Twitch that involve money and gambling are extremely sketchy.
Yeah.
Very, very sketchy.
Definitely.
And that's a whole other thing. The whole gambling side of Twitch is fucked.
Yeah, that's a whole other so can of worms, fucked. Isn't it? Yikes.
I mean, YouTube inherently is a massive platform, much bigger than Twitch.
It is much bigger than Twitch.
So, you know, some of these channels that are uploading, you know, God knows how much Darman's making.
Yeah.
I'm sure he makes XQC's revenue in one day.
Yeah,
those
probably.
Views and exactly. Sponsors, right? Like it's totally crazy. And I am still shocked that people are like, top influencers earn how much? You know, when there are some of them that are going around in private jets, Lamborghinis, and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I wish that was me. Fucking hell.
I mean, are we?
I'd love to buy my whole all of Wales. You know, some of these guys have the GDP of Wales. I'd love to reinvigorate the economy there.
Exactly.
I mean, are we surprised how much Hollywood movie actors make, or how much some of the top music artists make?
And then
this is like a new entertainment platform.
Yeah.
Of course, top creators are going to be making millions. You know, we're not at the billion stage yet because we're not as big as the other entertainment industries, but these are what the top creators are making. And we are just like a baby mode of the entertainment industry, you know, of like the rest of the established entertainment industry.
And yeah, I'm sure when like massive Hollywood actors were first, you know, starting to make these like massive loads of money and that got found out, I'm sure the general public was like, wait, these actors make how much money? Yeah, like I feel it's the exact same thing. It's like, it's such a new thing now. And it's also just so unprecedented because it's different to anything that you see on like TV or radio or anything like that.
Is this just three guys trying to justify their income, the conversation?
Yeah, pretty much. And like the Twitch thing, it's like, most of it's public anyway.
Yeah, that was especially weird with the Twitch thing is that most content creators' sub count is public and this income was somewhat known or close to known.
Right, you could easily have like kind of guessed. how much it would have been, right? So it's like,
quite odd.
Why is it a surprise?
It's quite weird. Yeah. But I think a lot of content creators were like, a couple of people who are still surprised about it. I think the people that were surprised about it were people who weren't involved and didn't watch Twitch or weren't, you know, touching it at all.
Yeah.
And I saw people being like, I'm going to be a Twitch streamer. I'm like, yeah, right, good luck. Yeah. that shit is harder than YouTube. Man. Twitch is fucking hard, man.
And it's
the search algorithms aren't nearly as optimized as YouTube or TikTok or something. Mm.
Well, I mean, it just shows that, you know, this is a growing industry right now. Like it's weird seeing how YouTube and Twitch have evolved as time has gone on and seeing it go. I think that's where the difference lies and where they get their perspective from, which was the difference between say Twitch streamers and YouTubers versus Hollywood celebrities or big music artists is that, you know, a lot of us started off in that exact same position as everyone else. You know, it is an equal playing field. Mm. So we didn't have to go through these auditions or, you know, go get signed by this massive music label or anything like that. We grew organically by ourselves. And I think it's just the shock that someone who went through that avenue is able to earn that much, right?
But it's also like, you know, I think what a lot of people don't like to give credit to is that a lot of the creators who are earning that much now, right? Mm-hmm. At some point or another, they were working full-time hours on top of whatever else they were doing on something that wasn't paying them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like,
Years.
Yeah. I feel like Twitch streamers, again, is like a lot like YouTube is where like the biggest difference is that I think a lot of people see them more as like this person that's on the same level, right? It's like a lot more personable. It's just like the dude across the road type of thing.
Right.
Whereas like, you know, no one views fucking Johnny Depp as like the guy Kanye across
West,
the road.
Right? Kanye West could like burn $1 billion and people would be like, oh, Kanye.
Yeah,
you?
That's just Kanye being Kanye.
But if a YouTuber did that, it'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, it's just different, right? Yeah. And then there is this weird kind of dichotomy of how they expect the standards of traditional celebrities to influencers and stuff. And I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something else. God, you probably have something to say. I'm fucking dumb.
Wait,
I was going to say something after Joey's point and I totally forgot it.
What was Joey's point again?
My point was that Twitch streamers and YouTubers are seen a lot more as like, just like a friend.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a lot more personable, not this person in the clouds, like a lot of like Hollywood actors are.
Do you ever, because you know, when you first start making money on YouTube, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh my God, I made $100.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then you're really proud because you're like, oh my God, I can get paid for doing this thing that I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then for the first 2 years, I was making enough to maybe buy myself a movie ticket.
Mm. Yeah.
$10,000.
VIP.
The first year, I think I only made like $500 from it.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Second year, probably made like $5,000. Still not enough to live off, but you know, I was like, whoa, it's exciting, right? And then it goes up and it scales up.
Mm.
And that's when I think you start to feel bad about how much money you're making.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you ever get like imposter syndrome about it?
Yeah.
Of course.
I think every YouTuber does.
I think most YouTubers
every YouTuber,
get imposter syndrome.
The reason why a lot of YouTubers don't want to talk about that money is because a lot of them feel bad, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they should, right? I wish we lived in a system where no one gave a shit about money and people could just be more honest about it and that people could, because then I think that would make
a
system.
Well, that's why I'm glad this Twitch thing came out because now people are like wearing their fucking earnings on their badge.
Yeah. Well, because I think that it makes a better atmosphere for everyone to be able to negotiate for better like pay in their job.
Yeah.
You know, there's in traditional jobs, there's sometimes, even though they're not allowed to ask you to do this, the bosses will be like, don't talk about how much money you're making. But you're allowed to, but people don't because they're scared and they don't want to
be judged. Right?
But if you're doing the exact same thing as your colleague, whether it be on Twitch or in the same job, you should be able to argue that you should be valued the same way they are.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where when I meet other content creators in private, I'll ask them like, how much did you get for this sponsorship deal?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, what did you get? Because I want to make sure you didn't get fucked over.
Yeah.
Because I know how much you should be getting.
Because like speaking from people in the industry, nobody teaches each other.
No.
And one of the stupidest things is that a lot of content creators don't talk to each other about this, even though the more content creators you talk to, the more you realize, oh, a lot of people are getting fucked because they've never talked to any other content creator about this, right?
Taking deals that like, for example, I took a deal for a sponsor on a video. This is when I was getting around about an average 50,000 to 100,000 views. Mm-hmm. I took a sponsorship for $100.
What?
And the video got 500,000 views. That's not worth it, by the way. Something, a video, let's say when you're about, if you have 50,000 to 100,000 average views, you should probably be getting about maybe $2,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, at least 20 to 50 times more.
Yeah, $2,000 to $4,000.
Which sounds like a lot. I know. That sounds like a lot to a lot of people. But this is advertising space, right? This is eyeballs that you're getting. So you have to think of it like that. So you can naturally scale.
I mean, I guess that's where our knowledge comes in, right? Where it's not like that's not a set number because it all depends on the clients. It all depends on the product you're promoting. Some clients in certain spaces are willing to sell you like this spot for a higher price. Some aren't. It's really comes down to experience, but. If you're a content creator, you should really be talking to other content creators. 100%. If you have no idea what to charge a client, exactly. Right? If you have no idea, then because here's the thing. I've searched up before, like YouTube of like how much you should be charging certain clients. And like all the YouTubers I've seen who have said how much you should be charging have got the number wrong, And that's because a lot of them aren't big creators, and like the numbers really depend on where you are on YouTube, and it really comes down to experience and what other people are doing in your field, which really depends on how much you can charge, right? So I feel like talking to you guys about it before, we are now able to charge more because we've realized that we were all getting charged different prices for certain.
It's also not just about like the sub count and like view count, stuff like that too. I feel a lot of it, especially nowadays, that like companies are looking for is like branding power.
Yeah,
like you could have the two channels could have the exact same number of subs and views, but one could be a stronger brand. And that
depends on the
audience, in and of
right?
itself, yeah. right? Yeah, and it depends on like the audience and the demographics. So there's so many components that go into it. It's not just like a bare bones like, I get this many views on average, therefore I should be getting this amount of money. Like it's completely case by case. And like,
which is like my general advice to anyone who is independent and not even a YouTuber, but an artist, right? Mm. We've had to learn what our value is. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. You have to know what your value is.
And not be ashamed to say it.
And not be ashamed to say it.
When they ask for how much it costs.
Like, when it comes to negotiations with a company or with a fellow client, you can't be ashamed to big up your value because you are bringing something for them, right? You are bringing something to the table and you need to articulate that.
Nothing hurts me more than seeing an artist underselling themselves.
Oh man, it hurts me so much.
It's so bad.
It hurts me so much.
Like I always make sure, like if I'm working with an artist, I'm like, you sure you want that much? Like I can give you more. I think you're worth a little bit more than that. You gotta have a little bit of confidence in yourself.
Exactly.
Like you can't be scared to like obviously you can't like ask for an egregious amount at a small price, but you know, there is a limit that you can go and it's okay to step over that limit even slightly just to get your name out there. You know, if you really believe in your work. Just, oh my God, I've seen so many fucking artists just be like, yeah, I'll give you like this amount, and it's like a tenth of what I was envisioning. It's like, I don't know if you want to do that too.
Yeah.
Like, be a little more confident in yourself, you know? This episode is sponsored by Honey.
We all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at the checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past.
Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your card. Honey supports over 30,000 online stores. They range from sites from tech, gaming products, to popular fashion brands, and even food delivery.
All right, picture this in your head, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna paint a mental image for you right now. All right. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites.
I see it.
Okay. When you're at the checkout, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click apply coupons.
Oh my God.
All right. You wait a few seconds, and Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll just watch the prices. Look at the prices dropping.
Oh my God. Oh, Joey. Joey. I can only get so erect, Joey.
Go on. I have a question. How much money did you save?
As you know, I've been moving recently and I've just saved $20 on new kitchen equipment for my new house.
Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/trashtaste. That's joinhoney.com/trashtaste.
Back to the episode.
And I think another thing that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to like the economics of YouTube and like getting paid for this as a job is the amount of time a lot of content creators will go before they get big doing work and not getting paid and not doing this for money. I mean, I did YouTube for like 7-8 years before I saw my first paycheck, right? And especially nowadays, it's a super, super competitive industry and a super, super competitive field. Yep. So whenever someone comes to me and asks me for advice about how to make YouTube a job, the first thing I ask them is, do you have the time to take a year off in your life without getting paid and working harder than a 9-to-5 job?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that's the minimum sacrifice you will have to do nowadays to, unless you're like super, super lucky, to do YouTube. And even if you do that, you might not even get popular. It might not even come to fruition. So are you willing to make that sacrifice in your life for a chance to have this as a job? Mm. Which is why I feel very lucky to have this position.
Yeah, likewise.
But I know that there was some portion of luck within my career path, but also, everyone I've met, including all three of us, worked super fucking hard as well. We went through a point where we were working harder than a 9-to-5 job without getting paid, or being paid like less than minimum wage to get where we are. And we did that for about a year. And I feel like a lot of people who are maybe older, who are more established, to be like, you know, I got a 9-to-5 job, I can't really take a year out in my life. That's why a lot of YouTubers you see start off in like college or in high school when you do have that time. And all I can say to that is, I'm sorry. That's just the way it works. It's not a company. YouTube isn't like YouTube. You're not a paid salary man. You know, it's
as an example, it's like, you know, like Mr. Beast, like Jimmy was barely got any views for like the first like 6-7 years of his career. Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's at where he's at now. Right. But I think what a lot of people forget is that he didn't just come out of nowhere. He didn't just make a video and it immediately, you know, get him 50 million subs, right? He worked for that shit.
It takes a very long time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that everyone wants to gloss over.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's not me just trying to justify why people should make 50 fucking million dollars a year, but it's just, you can't criticize it without first understanding that and appreciating that it does sometimes take a shit ton of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing that people love to forget is that life is not fair. You know,
fair system right now.
You could put just as many hours, if not more hours, into playing guitar or something, and nothing could come of it.
Yeah.
You know? Think of the hundreds and thousands of guitarists that never went anywhere. Right?
It's you also have to understand, I think one thing that is kind of oversold in life is that if you put X of hours into something, it'll just work out.
Yeah.
And it's not always that simple. You know, if you're getting into something that is extremely popular worldwide, it's going to be way harder than if you're, for example, making anime videos on a website called YouTube in 2015.
It's
differences in scale of what you're trying to compete. You know, I'm sure everyone in the world started doing the type of content that we were doing, I think we'd be out of a job pretty soon. Because no doubt there'd be other people who are better than us. Yeah. That would happen. But not everyone is doing it.
Yeah.
I
feel that's why it's called a dream job for a reason, right?
Yeah, I did take a fucking massive risk with my career choices, you know, because back then when I had a steady paid job, I had a career path I could pursue. Yeah. And I
did you work at again?
I worked at the BBC. Oh, did you know that?
No,
did you know that?
Sheesh.
No. Had to bring it back for the bingo players.
In the fucking timestamps, it'll be like justifying our privilege or something. Is this section of the fucking video.
No, because I did sacrifice that a proven career path for an industry that was not proven, industry that didn't exist back then, that wasn't proven that I could do this more than a year or two. And I took a risk that it was going to turn out into something. And I was lucky enough that it did turn out, you know. Yeah. Nowadays it's a different ball game. You know, I took that risk with my career path. If you want to be a YouTuber or a Twitch streamer, you have to take a different risk and it's a different risk, but the risk to rewards is like the rewards are there to be seen. And that's why people take risks to get that reward.
The one lucky thing about YouTube and Twitch is that you can do it in your downtime. You know, you can put a little bit of effort here and there, see some results, see that there's a demand for it, and then dedicate more time to it. That is one good thing about it. Like, you know, you're going to be at a disadvantage if you are working, like Grant said, and you are 30 plus and you've got a life that you need to maintain. But it's not impossible. Like there are some ways.
It's not impossible.
And there are cases where it has worked out. Again, it's just harder and the playing field isn't level, but it never is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that if you let's say you just had a friend who was a big YouTuber, you're already at a massive advantage because they can help you out.
Oh, yeah.
Or you have a family history of using cameras or editing, you know? Like, there's all kinds of variations of advantages, but that's fucking life.
Like, yeah. I feel that can apply with any job, like, though, right?
Literally, it's anything like, in life, you know? But I guess because we're somewhat public figures, so it's a lot more.
I mean, I would say every career path has their own obstacles.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah.
Especially, like, for example, if I would take engineering, for example, it's actually not advantageous to you to do a good job in your company and stay in that company because like the raises you get are better if you move companies and you're constantly moving companies. True. Right. And that, you know, I don't think that should be right because I think every employee should be rewarded for doing a good job at that company.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the sad reality is that a lot of the times in a lot of career paths, you can get a much better raise by changing companies and then moving back to the original company. And you're thinking like, why can't the original company just see me for my worth to begin with?
It's like Twitch streamers moving to YouTube and back to Twitch.
True. It's free privileged individuals justify that. You know the one thing that the one comment that I absolutely and I'm inviting this comment now.
Go on.
Okay.
You've changed.
Right? I like the old blank better.
And it's like, are you saying that I would be the same person I am at 20 years old that I am now? Because you're insane. If you think that I should be the same person, of course I'm going to change.
Yeah.
If I didn't do YouTube, I would still change. It would change regardless. I'm becoming more miserable. I'm joking. You change, right? And when people comment saying like, oh, they've changed, you know, they're different from, I'm like, yes, of course, as you should. Yeah. You should become more confident as you get older.
I would be worried. I would be worried if you didn't change.
Right. You should mature. You should change your opinion. You should act differently. That's called life. Yeah. If you're not doing that, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you? Why aren't you changing? Why aren't you improving yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
But then I guess that's up.
But then, but yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
are you improving? Yeah.
You're not improving.
Connor's becoming more gluttonous, more wealthy. He's changed since he got his Audi Benz.
He's buying drip.
He's got
he's spending money on drip now. Instead of going to Primark, how dare he?
It all changed when Connor got this pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks for the first time. You have changed.
It all changed when you went to LA. That one trip to Los Angeles changed everything.
That first trip to LA changed my mind. I was like, I'm not going to be broke anymore.
I agree. You should always be changing. You know, I think there is a difference between changing and becoming a bit snobby. And because you know, for I still can't stand. What can I say? I still can't stand flex culture. My God.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because you want to be able to celebrate and support the people who have really worked hard and have done. Yeah. Great stuff and have made some good content and I want to see them do well.
Yeah.
But then I guess there's a very fine line, especially for audiences.
Yeah.
What is considered flexing and what is, you know, I'm not going to go around and be like, oh, this is what I bought. I'm doing it. I'm killing it. You know, all my investments are doing well.
Where he just like put on a video being like, so here's how my stocks are doing this
month. Here's my stock portfolio now.
Not to flex,
I YOLO'd everything into Dogecoin, as you can see.
Thank you, Daddy Elon.
I got into stocks when everyone got into stocks, and I've been in the red for a very long time. So there's no flexing from me, unfortunately. but
it is a fine line between like what is flexing and what is just being proud of your accomplishments, right?
Yeah. It's
like what is that? When does it change?
Oh, fuck, it's hard, isn't it? Because you don't want to be like, yeah, I'm doing well, but you also, you know, because that some people perceive that as you've changed.
Yeah right. So it's like, what do you not want me to like show you my achievements or?
Because people support small creators and then they also turn on them when they find out they're doing well sometimes, which is bizarre.
It's the underground band going mainstream.
It
you
is,
know?
Yeah.
Just in a different field, you know. They've changed ever since they were successful and signed by the music label, you know. Don't like their music anymore. They're talking about different things.
I like them before they became an anime opening.
I don't get annoyed if someone prefers all the content of mine or they prefer, because the style has changed, right? And I understand that when you change your style, not every style is for everyone.
Exactly.
And I don't get annoyed and people are like, I prefer the old videos. I'm like, oh, that's fair enough, man. Yeah. Like, I get it. Like,
that's, it's your taste, right? Yeah.
But I'm not going to change it because that's not what I want to do.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I still get comments who are that are still like, I miss the anime zone. Mm. Where, when are you going to bring back the anime zone reviews? And I'm just like, dude, I killed off reviews for like a fucking reason, okay? Yes, I have changed in that sense. I'm not doing anime.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anime zone reviews anymore.
I mean, people still ask me for my fucking Let's Plays. I'm like, what?
But then I also get annoyed at content creators that like whine at their audience all the goddamn time.
Right.
They're like, oh, why are you complaining you don't like the new videos? It's like, well, it's you need to go out your way and make something. It's different. You can't expect your audience to just follow suit and like it.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to be like, just screw what the audience thinks. If this is what makes you happy, do that content.
I hate YouTubers that sit there and make videos whining that they're not doing well.
Yeah.
I'm like, get over it. If you change something else. If you change something you're not making like stuff that is keeping up with the times, that's on you, I believe.
That is part of the job that you signed up for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should know this, you know.
If you're a doctor, you have to keep learning the new medical practices. You can't go doing shit, you know, like in the 1960s.
Oh, you got COVID? Here's some leeches.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. The only difference is there's regulations, and you're forced to do it.
Yeah.
But God, imagine if there wasn't. People would never fucking update their thing, right? And the only reason why they do it is because it's to the detriment of everyone else around us.
Yeah.
The problem is with YouTube, it's not to the detriment of anyone else. If a content creator falls off, there are tons more. You know what I mean? It is up to you to make sure that you are making stuff.
You are up to date.
And when my channel falls off, there can be plenty of fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm memes of this section of the podcast. Yeah. You know, and I'll, you know, it's, if I stop trying to change, that's on me. If I don't want to do that anymore, I understand that.
My favorite comments I get though is like, it's not even the you've changed or the I like the old content better. It's the you've fallen off.
Oh, there's that as well. Yeah,
comments.
That. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. You're irrelevant now. And I'm like, what? Because you personally don't like my stuff now? I'm suddenly irrelevant in the grand scheme of things? It's like, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who are not gonna like what you know.
And that's fine. How you like, I'm not trying to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like it, that's cool, dude. There are literally thousands of content creators you could go and watch.
Yeah,
that's
It's strange. I don't really know. What's your opinion, Gant? Tell me your opinion.
My opinion on changing?
whatever the fuck you want an opinion on. It's trash taste. Say an opinion.
Your opinion on changing.
Tell me how you shit. I don't know.
No, I mean, like, for me, like, changing is part of our job.
Yeah.
You know,
and life. I think you should change as a person.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, when I go back and see my friends from school, if they're exactly the same as they were in school, I'm like,
that's a red flag.
Why?
Yeah.
But some people don't change. You know, did you notice that going back home?
I did. And I don't give a shit if they haven't. That's on them. I think it's like, oh, that's odd. Like, nothing has changed your point of view in life in 5 years. Like, nothing has made you think different. None of your experiences have changed who you are. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But then I don't want them to be like, oh, you've changed. It's like, fuck off.
Yes, I have. Get over it.
Well, yeah, of course I've changed. I moved to a foreign country and I have no idea what's going on half the fucking time, and I barely know how to communicate with my taxi driver. Yeah, of course I've changed.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for my life, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, because I feel like that just says a lot of us about us as people, because I'm constantly looking for change. I'm like,
same.
I am like uncomfortable when things stay the same for too long. And no, I think that's why you're fucking.
I get scared when shit starts to get monotonous. Right,
like which is kind of makes YouTube my perfect job, because I never want to stay still. I'm constantly wanting to change, not just in career, but in like my own life. Mm. Like, that's why I've moved countries so many fucking times. Mm. I still don't know where I want to settle down yet, because I'm like scared to like stay in one place for too long. Mm. You know, that's just me as a person. I constantly like changing my life, and I'm not saying if you are the type of person who doesn't change and stays comfortable in one place, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Mm. But all I ask is you don't judge us for changing, for changing as well. And you know, so there are some people who I was mates with back in the day that I have less in common with now. And that's just part of me having to accept that I have changed and we have less in common with.
We're not going to push our values on you guys. So, you know, just don't do the same.
Drip.
Yeah, sure. Except for drip. You should buy drip.
Well, I'll give my opinion. You don't have to take it, but I'll give it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm very brash with my opinion. I know that.
Yeah.
But
I'm not going to cry over you not agreeing with me. Like, I don't care.
I do get annoyed that people completely misinterpret what I'm saying.
Yes.
That doesn't
matter. Yes. Absolutely.
Because I'm like, how did the fuck did you get that? Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like, you're starting a completely different argument there. Yeah,
true.
yeah. I need a toilet quickly.
Oh, God. Go and piss yourself, God.
Speaking of going to your hometown and see if people have changed, right? I do have a funny story about someone who I met in my university town that has definitely changed in a way that I didn't imagine.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what happened is I went to see some of my mates who are living in Bristol right now, which was my city where I went to university. I went to University of Bristol. Mm. And so we're at this club, right? And we meet a guy there. And this guy, who I wasn't, you know, I wasn't very close to him in university, but word on the street was he was the type of guy who, if you needed certain substances, that was the guy to call, okay. Right? Okay. And so, you know, I'm just, you know, having a casual chat, and he asked me what I'm doing. And I was like, oh, I start talking about Japan. I start talking about being a YouTuber, living in Japan and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, I do something about Japan now. And I'm like, what the fuck do you do now? What is this person? So to preface, this is a guy who applied to Love Island once, right? He is not the kind of guy who I would expect has any interest
Sigma male.
In Japan at all, right? Yeah. And he goes, oh yeah, I deal Pokemon cards now. And I'm just like, fuck off. What is this? And he's like, how are you getting Pokemon cards? And I was like, oh, I love Pokemon. I've always loved it. And I was like, how are you getting Pokemon cards? And I'm like, Gant, I've got contacts. And I'm just like, why did you have to make it sound like that? And so he takes me over to one side, right? And he's just like, yo, Gant, come here, look. I've got a good deal if you're interested in Pokemon cards. I was just like, what? Yeah, I was like, you're taking the piss. And it was like, mate, I just sent off a shiny Mewtwo. It got graded 9. Grade 9 shiny Mewtwo, mate. Yeah. First edition. It can be yours. I'm selling it, but I'll give you a good deal. And I'm just like, this is the weirdest fucking offshoot of Breaking Bad I've ever seen.
Jesse, like, we got a grade.
And so yeah, oh that was God. like so this guy went through a complete career change apparently and is now dealing Pokemon cards.
I've got contacts and Game Freak. So pulls out a bunch of business cards.
You know the whole weirdest aspect of this whole Pokemon card was
yeah. What?
It was that people were sending cards, their cards for Logan Paul to open.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So that they could be in the video?
This is some kind of like modern cucking that I'm not aware of, where like you don't get enjoyment of opening your own things now. You have to send them to someone else who can open them, but better.
It's like a full, it's like a form of voyeurism.
It's like, he's opening that Pokemon card just the way I like.
That's my deck.
It's a shiny Bulbasaur. Oh! Like, what is this? What fucking year are we in where we don't get enjoyment? It's like, well, I go and buy a bunch of gacha and I make Joey log in my account and do it because he does it better than
me. I mean, that also is a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It gotten all these fools for me and I get it.
Isn't this weird? What is this?
Yeah,
what,
I mean,
what,
I always fall for nothing.
What kind
yeah.
of modern cucking is this? Like, what is this? When did this begin? Why is this a thing?
I'm pretty sure there's like a bunch of like Genshin YouTubers who get-
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they get
yeah.
like-
Tech does
it. Yeah. Like Tech like pulls for other players. It's like- What?
I mean, I feel like it's just like living vicariously through this one person, right? Because
I guess, but it's like
with Pokemon cards, it feels like a weird extra step where you would send these like extremely valuable cards yeah. to be opened.
Like, yeah. do they come back to the person?
Yeah, they come back to the person.
What?
I think I kind of get it because it's kind of like sharing. You're like there's. It's all about the experience, right? Because you're sharing the experience with, say, your favorite content creator. Because you know, there's a difference. You know, there is a difference doing it yourself and like having the freak out by yourself and like doing it as like a group, as like a group experience.
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
I guess
it just feels like this weird kind of. What year are we in?
It is a bit of an extra.
Some people just don't want to open up their own things anymore. Yeah. I'm going to invite Gon over to open up my fucking Dyson vacuum cleaner just so I can get the true experience of how a Dyson
watch him take off the peelies.
How a Dyson should be unboxed. Because Gon will do it better than me. Isn't it weird? Like okay, that I understand strange, it's a shared experience, but it's weird.
Yeah.
It is strange, right?
It is a bit strange. It's a bit strange.
I don't think it's strange.
Would you do it?
Would you send off your cards for someone else to open?
No, but I would, if I'm like, say, opening like a rare pack, I'd want my boys in there. I'd be like, I wouldn't want to do it by myself. I want to share the experience,
boys,
right?
Boys, 5 p.m. my place. Yeah. I'm opening up.
I have a fresh pack right here.
Non-crinkled cards.
Look, it's just like part of the fun is the shared experience of just doing this exciting thing, you know?
But when does it not become your thing? It's not your thing anymore. It's someone else's.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If you send your cards off to Logan Paul to open up.
Does he send them back?
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's a massive difference.
It's like you being cut out, right?
Yeah, there's a massive difference between like you gathering your friends to do it in front of your friends and then sending your cards to someone that you don't know
who maybe
and
says, they like, don't know Sherry, you. Thanks, Sherry, for giving me the cards,
yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's that with extra steps, but like you're sharing that with like, say, one of the biggest content creators on the platform, right? So it's like,
yeah,
Joey, do this role for me, Joey. I can't. You do it, Joey.
But the problem is that like the majority of like, if they're like streaming it on Twitch, the majority of the chat isn't going to be like, oh, this is the card that was sent by this person. Holy shit.
I guess I kind of get it now that you say it like that. I do kind of understand that you could get more enjoyment out of seeing other people react to your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is just strange, isn't it? What level of consumerism are we on right now? Where this is, we buy things for ourselves for someone else to open for us. What level is this?
Make sure to send it back.
What level of capitalism is this? This is what they're going to use in like other communist societies. Be like, look at it. They don't even buy their own stuff anymore. They buy it for someone else to open. Isn't it weird? Look at that. It is like, I think I kind of get it now, but it is strange.
Yeah it's a bit weird.
You have to admit, objectively, it sounds bizarre.
I mean, you can make anything sound weird if you like put it in a weird way.
Try it. Do it right now. Give an example.
But like, I mean, that's kind of like the same kind of argument when Let's Players starts to get popular, right? It's a bit weird. You know, I mean, you're kind of just watching someone play a video game and they're not even good at the video game.
Well, okay, I would argue with that one though. It's not like I'm buying a physical copy of the game.
Yeah, and then sending it to the Let's Player.
I don't have a copy anymore. It's like you do it, and then I'll watch you play it.
Yeah, it's not like I'm sending a game to the Let's Player, and then they're like, just after you finish it, just give me back the game.
But then again, people do buy games for streamers, but then they normally do that because they want to see them have the experience that they had. So
it's all about the shared experience, right? And then I guess I
understand the feeling. It's just it does seem strange to me that this even was a thought. That
at someone, first glance, it's weird
that someone was like, "I'm gonna send my cards to Logan Paul." It's like,
well, I think it's just the way you say in the sentence. Yeah.
It's akin to like being cucked in my mind. I'm gonna send
my girlfriend.
Well, yeah, it's like I won't get as much satisfaction out of doing this as I would watching someone else do this for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of more satisfying, right? I mean, I
is it now, God?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
You telling us something, God?
Well, God. Oh, well.
You're into your own shit. That's cool, dude.
No, I mean, like, for example, with Gacha, it is like a lot more fun to pull on stream.
It always comes back to Gacha.
It does always come back to Gacha, right? But I mean, that's kind of
peak entertainment in 2021.
I mean, that's what Pokemon cards are, right?
Yeah,
it's just Gacha.
It's physical Gacha.
Right?
It's the loot box OG.
Yeah.
So it's a lot funner to do with your mates. Like every time, I remember when we were like addicted to Art Nights. Yeah. Every time Joey was in the office, he was like, "I'm going to do a pull," and we're like, "Oh, let's see what he gets." And it's a lot more fun to do with mates because if you don't get it, then your mates will be like, "Haha, you're a fucking idiot."
right. But it's not like you're buying packs for Joey to pull because
because you get the cards back. So it's
but let's say. Yeah, I guess you do.
But I guess like the equivalence of that is like, I'm going to give you $100 to pull on Arcanines, but once you finish the pulls, I need you to send me the $100 back. You know, it's like, that's a little weird.
No, I mean, it's more like you're just giving the phone to another person. Joey, you do the pull for me. You do. I trust
that's
your gacha luck.
It's like giving your significant other to someone else for one evening of magical lovemaking that you can view.
While you sit back and enjoy the show.
I'm not crazy, right, with this comparison.
No,
right?
I get what you're coming from. Yeah, but it's just now that I think about it, it is not as weird as I initially thought.
Okay,
as weird as that is, in and of itself. Is it weird that we don't find that weird anymore?
Let me sell you another idea.
Okay.
So you know like you watch movies and animes and stuff like that.
I know what you're going to say.
Right, right. So fuck that. Like, imagine instead of watching a 2-hour movie, you could watch three blokes sitting on a set just arguing about chicken breasts and chicken thighs. How's that sound?
Sounds like quality content.
That's called good life choices.
I have one question. Okay. Where do I subscribe?
How do I sign up for that?
I suppose. I mean, what would you categorize? Why do you think Trash Taste is successful? What do you think?
This
podcast really is a sucking our own dick podcast, isn't it?
Hold on a second. Why are we so goddamn entertaining, guys?
Why are we so good? Can you explain?
Why would someone go and watch ours instead of watching a movie which is objectively better entertainment?
I could give like a really deep answer now. I feel like
I'm ready for the truth bomb.
No, I feel like with the whole shared experience thing we're talking about, a lot of people would now crave kind of like that feeling of like a relationship or like a closeness with someone. And a lot of people can feel that parasocially by, for example, sending their cards to their favorite streamers or sending some money for their favorite gacha streamers to pool or just watching three blokes, three friends talk for 2 hours. You know, you get that feeling that you're connected with someone, that you have that feeling of connection, even though that connection isn't technically real, you know? And I feel like a lot of content nowadays, especially with the younger generation, is got like a lot of the most successful streamers and a lot of the most successful content creators are people who can accurately represent that feeling of a close connection, a parasocial relationship, let's say. See, that was my Damn. Deep answer.
I'm 14 and this is deep, bro.
my meme answer is just, it's just three blokes chatting shit.
It's just fun, isn't it?
I guess because we didn't strive to have that, right? We just talk, but it's always much deeper.
We do it for our own self-satisfaction.
We just wanted to make a show. We just chat shit.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't drive for that. It just happened by complete luck.
It was also like, I guess the whole, I watched a video by, what's his name? Glink, is it? Is it his name? Glink. Did a video about OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And the more, not the sexual side, but more so the parasocial side where
a
lot of guys are on there because that's like the closest they feel that they can get to a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was really sad watching that video because he had interviews with people who are OnlyFans subscribers, you know, and as much as we meme on OnlyFans and all that whole thing. And you know, earlier we mentioned the whole dancing women on TikTok. I do feel very sorry for these guys. Like a lot of them that feel that they have no other choice, or there is no other choice for them.
Yeah.
Just to life circumstances, or maybe whatever's going on, or if they're too busy, you know, it isn't just the stereotypical guys you think who are doing stuff like that, who consume that. You know, sometimes it's people just have no time. They're very successful.
Yeah.
And they have too much money, but the one thing that you don't have is time, which is and the ability to go and make friends.
Especially this day and age.
It is hard. Like a lot of people are lonely. It's especially during the times of the pandemic as well. That's like only kind of just extrapolated. Yeah. That's only kind of exaggerated it.
Exponentially.
Exacerbated.
You know, and I feel sorry, you know, for a lot of guys. Obviously, as a male myself, I it's one of those things where you can't really openly talk about being lonely. It's quite difficult to do it, you know, and it's often hard to just reach out to friends and be like, "Hey, man, not gonna lie, I'm just lonely, man. You want to hang out?" It's really hard to do that. And
it's that whole stigma of like macho insecurity,
yeah,
right?
I always want to try and dispel that and be honest and try and be open with my emotions and what I'm feeling, just so that hopefully that other people can be more open with it as well. Like I feel like when you're a public figure, it's kind of your responsibility to try and improve the understanding of topics like that, I think.
Gentlemen, you're allowed to feel emotions.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Bro, I know how, so, you know, because, you know, more often than not, there is a lot of toxic masculinity and pride that men have. You're supposed to be successful and provide basically not be a fucker, right? And this pressure is a fucking difficult, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of guys end up pushing a lot of friends away because they're so focused on trying to not be a failure.
I feel like, especially with guys, it's hard to talk about something negative. Like I remember when we went back to see all our mates, and we had that Airbnb where we all caught up. I remember like going into like a deep conversation that some of our guy mates were having at that time. Mm. I remember sitting down on the table, and one of our mates was talking about, you know, going through therapy for one of the things that they went through, right? And you know, more and more people started sitting in, and then started sharing their stories about how they also were going through something rough, especially during COVID, and they had to like seek therapy about it. And then eventually we just had this group of guys, and I was just like, wait a minute, has anyone here not been to therapy? We look around and nobody puts their hands up. And I was like, so everyone here has been to therapy. And I was just like, how have we never talked about this before?
Yeah.
We've known each other for like 4 years.
It's a shame thing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of guys feel shame admitting that they have any of those problems.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, if something should be normalized and not be shamed or frowned upon, it's this, you know, admitting that you have a problem and you're seeking help for it. And it's like, I feel like, especially in England and especially in Asian culture, it is very much frowned upon to like say, hey, I went to therapy or I talked to someone. And I was just like, cause it like the mentality is that if you go to therapy, then you're inherently trying to fix something about yourself. There isn't something inherently wrong about yourself.
Yeah, and I think people don't want to admit that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to just avoid it.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely bullshit. You know, just speaking like trying to keep a healthy, like a good mental health is not something that should be frowned upon, you know? And I feel like America in this are like leagues ahead of other cultures in just accepting this. 100%. And
gender doesn't stop you from being sad. Like if you're sad, it doesn't matter what you identify as. If you're sad, you're sad. And if you need to talk about it, you need to talk about it. Like,
it sucks, man. Cause the male suicide rate is so high. Man, like I'm so sad thinking about it.
Well, the male depression rate is so high as well. Yeah, no one fucking talks about
this thing, right? When I was in my first year of living in London, looking back, I can easily tell you I was depressed. But at the time, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know why I was miserable. Yeah. I didn't think, I was like, I have no reason to be sad, so I'm not sad.
Because you had no one to talk about.
Mood. But I also didn't even, because I hadn't been educated on it. No one even told me that that was like, who tells you what depression feels like?
Yeah.
How do you learn that? I didn't know what it was.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't understand what it was. And only now when I look back and I think, oh, I had like all the fucking the trademarks of depression. Like I like didn't want to hang out with anyone, but I also was lonely.
Yeah.
But and there's tons of other stuff.
It's just a catch-22, right?
Right. It's like it's and normally it's being your own worst enemy. Mm. But I didn't understand that. And I'm very, very lucky that I managed to just get out of it on my own.
Yeah.
And that now I'm much better. And I think it was a whole slew of reasons of why I don't feel that way anymore. Mainly like just life reasons changing.
Mm. Yeah.
But I wish that I had had more education on it in school. Like in Wales, it was never fucking brought up. Depression was for people who are crazy. That was not what healthy people have with normal jobs and wives. You know, you can't be sad if you have a job and a wife. You've got a 50-inch plasma screen TV. You can't be depressed. depression is people who killed people, Connor. Yeah. You know, that's what it was like. Yeah. You know, like I'm obviously exaggerating, but
And I feel at school as well. Like it's harder to take seriously because of the environment that you're in.
Oh
as well.
Bro, I was just miserable in school anyway. It's really difficult and it's a really uncomfortable thing to think about.
Mm. Yeah.
And there are times in my life where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm near certain that I was like miserable and very, very unhealthily so, and very self-destructive, but I just didn't recognize it. And I didn't know why. I guess the main reason is like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, nothing makes you depressed. It's just, it just happens.
Mm. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's going back to what you were taught in school. It's just like, oh, the, you know, seeking help, therapy, those are for the crazy people.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, you know what? You don't want to be associated with the crazies, with someone, you know, and it's just like, that's just not how real life is at all. A lot of people have a lot of issues and like some on varying scales, but there's nothing wrong with just fucking talking to someone professional about
there's
it.
There's nothing wrong with seeking help.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, when you've had it for an extended period of time, I didn't know. I was like, well, this is just normal. This is how I've always felt. I don't know anything else. This is, what do you mean?
That's when it starts to get scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because that's all I, like, for a while, that was like how I just felt all the time. Yeah. So I was like, oh. No, well, there's nothing to complain about because this is how it's always. Because your memory is very good at letting you forget things over a year. So you very much forget how it was.
Mm. Yeah. You'd be surprised how easy it is for your mind to just accept things as the way they are.
100%.
You can get used to a lot of things. And it's fucking scary how you can just get used to like a lot of like a toxic period in your life or like a really bad period in your life, and your mind just like accepts that as norm, and you forget that life could be better, that that not everyone should feel this way.
Yeah. And unfortunately our mind has a terrible way of coping with situations we don't like.
Yeah.
And our brain is fucking amazing at like hiding shit from us. So for a long time I didn't know why I was sad.
The brain is
I knew I was, but I couldn't figure it out.
Like, yeah, the brain is very good at just like fucking putting on the emergency handbrake sometimes and being like, don't think this.
It's really good at like that little old brain is really good at distracting.
Cheeky little fuck, that boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you.
I implore you to think about it more, and if you
don't be ashamed
to get help.
Don't be fucking ashamed of it, dude. Like,
don't be ashamed to talk to it about your to talk with your close mates about it. Because that's the biggest thing. I think
very, very blessed that I have good friends.
And if your mates don't take it seriously, then you know that's something. That's telling of your mates. They're probably not your mates.
That's telling.
Yeah, you know? That is telling.
Because I've, you know, I realized then that I was lucky enough to have mates, you know, including you guys, who I can talk to anything about, you know, and it's not just here, it's back home as well. And I'm just like, damn, I got a pretty good group of friends. I feel pretty blessed right now, you know.
Obviously, you're not going to bring it up every goddamn conversation.
No.
You know, you can bring it up.
It has a time and place. Right.
Dude, it was a fucking bro moment when I'm just like, I'm glad we're fucking talking about this now, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want all my friends to feel like they can come to me
in
trust and be like, listen, man, I'm really struggling. And I'll be like, well, let's do something.
Yeah, let's sit down, let's talk about it.
Whatever you need, man. Let's figure it out. Like, let's do it. Like, I want you to be happy.
Mates don't want to see mates being sad.
No, man. Like, you know, the one thing that I've learned as I'm getting older, God forbid, I'm 25 and I'm saying that shit, but it is, I notice it is harder to make friends. It gets more difficult to make good friends.
Yeah.
Because everyone's doing shit.
Yeah.
You know,
and I feel at that point as well, everyone already has their like established group of friends.
Yeah, people have their own friend groups and stuff, and you know, and it's hard, man. Yeah, time is the big one, man.
I remember when I was growing up, everyone was just like, "Time is your most valuable resource," and I'm just like,
"Wait, what does that mean?
Fuck off!
Give me
$1 million, and we'll see how valuable time
isn't going to buy me a McDonald's meal. Okay,
shut up, Dad. Logan is opening my Pokemon.
But yeah, it really started to hit me when I just wanted to hang out with Sydney, and now she's like got her own career and everything, and we literally had to like schedule a date, which we never had to do before. And I'm just like, what? We have to book out time to spend time with each other?
You have to pencil in a date.
I have to pencil in time to spend time with my significant other. And I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah, it is very weird.
Yeah, and it's like time management is a thing that you have to learn as you're growing older as well. And like also you just don't have as much energy as you did before. Like your energy levels do like go down because your patience for bullshit just dwindles, you know.
I have zero of that now.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
like immediately I'm like, I'm not gonna waste time on this because now I know how valuable my time is. Like I finally understand that time is your most precious value. It's like,
I know, right?
I finally understood after all the bullshit I went through. I'm like, oh, this is what this means.
And it's not even like, oh, I could be using this time to make money. No, I mean
I could be using this time to be happy.
I could be using this time to hang out with my homies, to play some games.
Yeah.
Like
anything but this bullshit.
Like, if there's something that makes me angry nowadays, it's something that wastes my fucking time.
100%.
I'm literally, I don't have many pet peeves, but if I feel, if I do something and I feel like I could have used that hour doing something else.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that makes me angry, man.
Yeah.
I could have been playing like a good fucking game.
Yeah.
Could have like been hanging out with my homies.
Yeah.
Could have been doing anything, man.
Anything to make me happier than where I am now.
Japanese government building. 20,000 hours of waiting.
Yeah,
pretty much. God. I've had a question in my mind that's been haunting me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This guy came out of the toilet, right?
Right.
In the public toilet. Okay. And he flushed the toilet as he left. When do you flush the toilet? Because I... Do you like... Cause, yeah,
well, it depends what you're doing.
You've done a number two, right?
Okay, number two.
Right?
Yeah.
You have your... You know, so you stand up, right? You now have two options. You can start buckling your belt, putting it back up, putting, you know, getting that all ready, or you can flush the toilet. Which one do you do first?
While standing up?
Yeah.
Because there are some people who flush while they sit
down. That ain't right. That ain't right. Well, you're just typhooning your asshole of shit water. Like, that's terrible. The only circumstance upon which you are allowed, I will give the pass to be able to flush the toilet while still sitting on it.
Yeah.
If you know that smell is so goddamn bad that your cheeks are the only thing keeping it in.
Okay, I personally stand up first when I flush.
So obviously you do, because you're a human being, Joe.
I'm not an animal.
But do you then... Right? So let's say you've unbuckled, right? Your pants, because you've unbuckled them. Yeah. And I don't know why this has been burning on my mind, because this man did it. He clearly, right? He clearly got up, did his pants, and then flushed the toilet and left. Right?
Yeah.
Which one do you do first? Because sometimes I immediately just close the thing, flush, and then start doing up my pants. Why is that?
I buckle up my pants first.
Up my pants first.
Then flush, then leave.
Yeah.
Why am I the weird one? What happened in my childhood?
Well, because it's weird. The way you do it is weird, because that means you're literally standing there flushing the toilet with your pants down.
No. I'm like this, right? Pants are here. I'll simulate it.
Okay.
So say it's like this, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, okay, close the lid, flush, and then I do this while it's flushing.
But your pants are down, right?
No.
Well, then that's the exact same thing.
Because when I'm like this, right? I come up, and then as I'm getting up, I kind of like pull it up to the point of like it's there, but I just got to zip it up and do the belt. You understand what I mean? You understand what I mean, right?
No.
I fail to see the difference. What's the difference?
What do you mean?
Like, what's the difference between the way you do it and the way I do it?
So when I stand up,
I love how our conversation's gone to shit already.
Yeah. I just saw this happen.
We just had like the deepest fucking therapy session.
I know.
And now, how do you flush your shit?
This has been on my mind for like 3 days.
Go on.
I saw someone do it, and
I'm gonna need a therapy session off this conversation.
All right, so I stand up, right?
Uh-huh.
And I picture it, right? Anyone with any pants is doing this. You pull it up, right?
Yeah.
Now there is a moment where you can now decide to, well, your pants up, you're standing up, your hands are now free for a moment. You can choose to then move your hands to the zipper and the belt to fully close your pants.
Uh-huh.
Or you can flush the toilet.
Okay.
I choose to flush.
Oh, I choose to do my pants first.
First and then flush?
Yeah.
Like, how do we develop these behaviors? That's what I want to know. What makes us? Why do we do this?
It ain't that deep, bro.
It's literally because it's because I would like, before I flush, the flush, right, is the signal that I have finished everything.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, right? Sometimes you're in a public toilet, right? Mm. I fucking hate the people who like flush. Sometimes you're fucking desperate. And you're just like, God, I need to go fucking now. And you're waiting. You're waiting for someone to come out of the toilets and you hear the flush, right? Yeah. You hear the flush and you're just like, all right, they're coming out. And they stay in there for another 5 fucking minutes doing God knows what. And you're
the flush is like a Pavlovian effect, right? It's like you hear the flush, it's all... ready to shit.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen.
It's just like, if you flush, you better be coming out of that toilet, bro.
I agree. If you flush, there must be a 10 second window where you have to get out the toilet.
Yeah.
You're signaling the end of your duties.
That's why I want to be fully ready to get out the moment I flush.
Bro, it's not a fucking sprint, man.
I don't want to keep the guy waiting.
I'm just wondering, is there something in my brain that makes me decide to do that first?
You're just trolling, aren't you?
I don't know. Like, I do wonder this.
I always psychoanalyze
like little things I do, and I wonder like, why do I do like that? Why do I do those things? I don't know.
Maybe
why
it's like maybe it's a habit you had since you were a kid.
Maybe, yeah.
Like maybe when
how
you
did
were
you
first...
notice this in the first place?
Yeah.
I noticed that this guy immediately left after he flushed, and I thought to myself, oh, hold on, I do like to flush. And then take a moment and just kind of...
Oh, you're the one person I would fucking hate to be.
Yeah.
You are that asshole who's like, give me 5 minutes.
The total time doesn't change. Right, but the perception of time changes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, no.
If to you, it's 10 seconds after you flush. To us, it's 10 minutes.
Overall, it's the same time I'm spending in there, so it doesn't matter. You're going to get in there the same time.
To me, if you don't leave the toilet by the time the flush is finished, then you are taking too long.
That
is the etiquette, right? That is the etiquette.
I agree.
Right?
Okay, have we covered this on channel before? I don't know if we have. Do you poop in public bathrooms? Do you care about that?
I mean,
if no, it's, we have talked about
this. Clean.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we have, haven't we? Yeah. I remember in school, I was the weird one because I didn't mind pooping in the toilets, but I also was like, what am I going to do?
You fucking animal.
Yeah.
But like to me, it is a last resort to poop in a public toilet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen crime scenes less messy than the high school toilets.
One thing I do remember now that we're talking about this,
mm-hmm.
when I was back in London, yeah. I needed the toilet before I got on my train in Euston Station. Now, yeah. One thing about Euston Station in London is that it's probably one of the dirtier train stations, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the rougher looking stations. It doesn't look as nice
as if train stations aren't already dirty.
Well, I mean, King's Cross is pretty nice. It looks pretty fancy, I'd say.
I know. One thing I noticed after going back was like, compared to Japan, everything's dirty.
Train stations suck. Yeah, it's true. Train stations suck in the UK, though.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You don't find out what platform your train is on in Euston until like 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
So everyone's just standing there. And then when the thing comes up, everyone's rushing.
Okay.
And it's like, why don't you just tell me it before? And then, but I guess there's some system on their end where they don't know.
Yeah.
It's stupid. They should know. They should figure this shit out. Come on, figure it out. Fucking figure it out. But so I went to the toilet in Euston Station and this shit was absolute war crimes. I'm sure some Geneva conventions were broken in this toilet.
Yeah.
There was no toilet seat in this toilet.
Well, it was just the bowl.
It was just the bowl.
I've seen that before.
And I thought there must be a mistake.
That's already nice.
I went to, I refused to go in this one. It was very busy. What,
did
I was
someone like, steal the lid or something?
Could have been a devious lick, who knows? I go to the next one. It's the same thing. I go to the next one. And then now there is a toilet seat. There is. But there is like, it is like something has happened in here.
Yeah.
Not only is the smell abhorrent, but like there is like four pieces of toilet tissue left and it's that horrible, horrible system of like one tissue that they ration out that you have to like, you have to pull out 50 to get one wipe with anyway. It's like, what's wrong with you people? I get it that you don't want me to take a shit out of the roll. I understand that. But why do you have to make it such a small amount? You know what I mean? Like, and it's always like half a ply.
Yeah.
It's like, if I held this up, I could see through it and navigate perfectly in a car, right? So this toilet seat, it's terrible. And then not only that, when you leave it, I hate when public bathrooms do this. They don't have any soap anywhere.
Yeah.
No soap, nowhere to dry your hands. And it's like, you're just telling me not to dry, you're just asking me not to wash my hands.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I go there, I do the obligatory, put water on my hands and leave and I feel dirty still. Yeah, my hands are wet. I can't dry them.
It's like a water well.
I'm depressed. Not only was there shit stains all over this thing that stunk, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's shocking. How do they not keep these toilets clean? I don't understand.
It's just not getting paid enough, are they?
You have one job, and it's literally to keep them clean. I don't think there's anything else you need to do in the toilets.
Well, the thing is, that's why I don't shit in public. You know,
this is why I shit in the station.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a big difference between the toilets in Japan versus the toilets in the UK, right? I mean, as you mentioned last week, the first thing you noticed is things are a lot dirtier in the UK after you've been living in Japan for like this long, right?
Yeah. I remembered another story from toilets.
go for it.
Sorry, I went to this toilet in Covent Garden.
Yeah.
So I went to a coffee shop, right? Coffee shop was too small. They didn't have their own toilet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they used a toilet in Covent Garden that was connected to the church.
Okay.
And it was 30 pence to enter. So about 50 cents maybe.
Yeah.
And
that's right. You guys charge for toilets.
Oh God, this toilet was like entering some sewer level in a video game going down these stairs. So it was in the stairs down. You had to go on the street level. You had to go down this really old looking 1800s architecture. So you get to this kind of cove looking thing. It's this archway, right?
Yeah.
And again, it looks like from something out of the 1800s that was never replaced.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Great architecture. Woo.
Yeah.
But this is turnstile and it is the most disgusting color of orange green wall that you've ever seen. And the lights are flickering.
Sounds like you're about to enter a Dark Souls level.
And I'm near certain I'm the only person on earth who actually paid to get in.
Yeah.
Because the moment I got
just
in,
jumped the
star. Moment I got in, two guys just jumped after me.
Yeah.
So I go in here, right? And only one of the stalls is open.
Uh-huh.
So I go in there and I need to do my business. Now, unfortunately, there was only like two sheets of toilet roll left. So I was it was already a bad time.
Hard mode, actually.
Bad time. And there was no bidet. Obviously.
Tragedy.
So my ass never quite felt clean. So I was constantly, I was also struggling with that every single day.
Yeah.
I definitely felt my ass was not clean. They're genuine. You joke, but I walked around many days thinking like, holy shit, I need to bring a portable bidet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm in this thing, right? I'm hearing noises from the two stalls. And I'm like, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And then this guy drops a can that kind of ominously rolls into my stall.
Yeah,
right. And it's a can of Guinness. And I kind of like kick it back. And I'm like, here you go. And he's like, cheers. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, it's a nice day today, isn't it? And I'm like, are you talking to me? Like, well, I'm in the middle of the shit. Like, me? He's like, who else would I be talking to? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what? And I'm just confused. I'm like, yeah, it's nice. So I go out and these two guys come out. One of them's homeless and one of them just looks like, I don't know who this guy is. He doesn't look homeless.
Mm. Yeah.
But one of the other guys is clearly homeless because his stall was just had his like sleeping bag in it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I was like, what on earth is going on? And the guy was like, you didn't actually pay for it, did you? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he was like, oh, you're a fucking dickhead. And then washed his hands and left. And then the other guy just stared at me. And I was like, this is the most uncomfortable toilet experience I've had. I was like, a peep show. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to go through. And I just worked the turnstile, which you have to press like some kind of emergency meeting button-esque to get out. Yeah. It was horrible.
The kicking back the Guinness can just sounds like an event in a game.
It was weird.
Like, this is how you activate the store. It's like, why are you lying?
I heard something drop and then it had that really ominous noise of rolling.
Yeah,
it came over and I was like, kicking it, like, take it back. I don't fucking want your Guinness.
It's a side quest in Yakuza.
Yeah, it is a Yakuza weird. Side quest.
I'm just like, what is this? I just wanted to take a shit.
Jesus.
I mean, if there's one place I don't want to have a conversation, it's on the fucking shitter, right?
Yeah.
Especially like, not, you know, maybe if we're in some kind of Ritz-Carlton-esque toilet where it's amazing hand towels, you know?
You're
in a fancy place. There's no tissues, there's towels.
There's
a pile of towels to wash your hand in.
That's a pile of towels.
Then I'm like, ask me how my day is. How is it? I'm just enjoying the fine selection of towels here and soaps and moisture milks, you know? It's great. Then talk to me.
Yeah.
but when I'm in the sketchiest toilet in London, no thank
and
you.
And there's a homeless dude next to you.
I didn't know. This guy had his whole setup in there. I was like, oh my God. I don't know if that's okay, but I mean, I'm glad you've got some accommodation for now, but like, fuck me.
Jesus Christ.
Scary.
I just
didn't know why the guy called me a dickhead. Well, I paid for it. I was trying to be a good citizen. You know, someone has to stock the toilet paper. How else are they going to afford it?
Is that the only like bad public toilet stories that has happened to you? Because like, I swear.
Yeah, when I went back.
Oh, when you went back.
Yeah.
Because that's why you just don't shit in public. Yeah. In the UK, at least. Well, in Japan, it's okay.
Oh, okay, no, it's not. No, it's not in Japan. There is a common phenomenon in Japan. If you go to some places at night, there is a big thing where dudes try and watch your pee-pee in Japan. Have you seen those videos?
No.
On Twitter? You've not seen them?
No.
There's loads of videos, right? You've not heard of this? You've not seen this?
No.
In certain areas, I think there are very more likely to happen. There's videos of dudes like jacking off in urinals. Like right next to other guys. Have you not seen this?
No.
Oh my God.
I mean, I've heard stories about this.
I'm not surprised.
I've seen this on Twitter.
I'm not surprised.
Like, I've heard stories about this. I've never actually seen it.
A lot of stories of like dudes like, you know, looking at it and not stopping looking at it. That's apparently somewhat common in Japan.
I mean, I'm not surprised at all. This is Japan.
I mean, it could be common.
It is also, you know, I mean, when you kind of... treat gay people kind of harshly here.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, I guess they have no choice. Exactly. A lot of people don't feel comfortable, but they're like, oh yeah, so it's still strange. I've had friends who it's happened to here.
Really?
Yeah, where they've just started like pulling it out and going at it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Then
are you serious?
In which areas? I want to know.
Shinjuku normally.
Shinjuku. Yeah. Okay, well.
The sketchy parts of Shinjuku and Shibuya and stuff.
I mean, there are some sketchy parts in Shinjuku. So that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
I have seen, there has been a couple of instances where I have seen dudes in public jacking it.
Yeah.
They do it. Yeah. It's not weird. It's not weird. It's not unusual to see.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not unusual to see. And it's definitely scarring.
Yeah.
Having a jaunty stroll through Shinjuku and then it's like, there was a dude just jacking in the alleyway.
We don't normally hang out at those like kind of like establishments. No. So it doesn't really surprise me with that area. No. But like, yeah, I mean, most public toilets in Japan are like cleaner than like most people's private toilets. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. You're like the concept of clean public toilets didn't exist in my mind until I went to Japan. I'm just like, wait.
Although I've seen some really fucking dirty ones in Japan.
Oh yeah. Occasionally there is some.
It occasionally happens, but normally you never see. strange. On average. Normally you never see clean public toilets, especially in England, and especially in fucking Thailand as well. Yeah. Like, my God.
You know where I
Southeast
think-
Asia? Okay, look, okay, I actually, I've been there. Wait. I actually realized going back why I don't like bidets, right? Mm. And it's because I realize, I've grown up my entire life with bidets because Southeast Asia have their own bidets.
Right?
But in Southeast Asia, we have this thing that, which we call a bidet, but it's not a fucking bidet. It's a hose, right? So... So if you go
how uncivilized.
So you go to Southeast Asia. No, in Japan, you have...
You have a Toshiba system that measures the moisture of your ass to deliver the perfect blast
The reason I hate the feeling of bidets is because my entire life I've had like Southeast Asian bidets, which is just like every toilet has like this hose, right? You know how in the bidets in Japan is like this fucking precision sniper that snipes your fucking
Niagara
ass.
Niagara Falls being shot at your asshole. It's not practical, gun.
And then in Southeast Asia, you have this fucking hose.
It's like a shotgun.
Yeah, it's like a fucking shotgun that you shotgun your entire fucking anus.
How do you use this if you're like, you know, you're are you on the toilet?
Yeah, you're on the
toilet. You're on the toilet. Yeah.
So you have to like put the hose between your legs.
Some places in Europe have that as well.
Yeah, you have to put the hose between your legs.
The smaller one on the
it's
the
like ground. A small little like
yeah,
bidet
you go
scene.
And sit next to it and you're like,
yeah. Dog. Which is still weird to me, yeah.
It's like whenever you go to the public toilet, it's like, why the fuck is this wet? Why is it always wet?
Yeah. Fucking hell. I don't wanna be reminded of a theme park when I'm going to the toilet. I don't want that.
And so like a lot of public toilets in Southeast Asia, you see the toilet seat and it's wet, and it's not wet from piss, it's just wet from the fucking bidet, right? And so that's why I think I've ingrained that into my mind to be like, yeah, that feeling of water on your ass, that's bad feeling.
You know what, I like how we've just managed to go from deep to shit again. Like, we've completely gone on topic. I apologize. I'm sure we'll run out of topics to talk about with this eventually. I in Japan, sometimes you do come across the old style toilets of Japanese toilets.
Yeah. Have you ever used them?
The Waski toilet?
Well, I'll talk to you about it, yeah. So, which is just AKA a hole in the ground.
Yep.
And you squat over it and you just do it.
Yeah.
Now, I have used it one time and I just could not get over the feeling that I was just kind of dropping something that was just going to splash everywhere.
Yeah.
And I could not get over that feeling. Yeah. I was squatting real low, but I did not enjoy it. It was not fun. Yeah.
What I hate about those, because I've had to use that plenty of times as well in Southeast Asia, especially if you're on a long drive.
Yeah.
Like if you need to do your business, every public toilet is that hole in the ground.
If it came to it and the only option I had is that a hole in the ground?
Yeah.
I'm shitting in a hole in the ground.
Yeah,
that's
what's
going to happen. But if I can, I will obviously go for the premium warm ass bidet blasting temperature moistening experience any day of the week. I would choose that.
The thing that makes me most uncomfortable is like with a normal toilet, there's the seat, and the seat is like a safety barrier. Nothing penetrates this barrier, right?
So I don't like that I can miss.
Yeah.
I've never missed the toilet.
You don't miss.
I hate that you fucking have to play fucking like mini golf with it. But like if you miss the hole, then you got to clean that shit up, right?
What am I going to do? Do I just kick it in? Like, what do I do? Like, do I get the toilet paper and scoop it in? What happens? Does anyone know? Is there a correct
you just
etiquette.
Don't miss, dude. You don't miss.
I have gone 25 years, or probably like 23, without missing. I'm very happy to keep my streak alive. I don't want to even attempt to miss. And also, I just like sitting down. I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that, you know, you're propping yourself up with your own legs, because if you don't, then, and you fall over.
I don't do exercise. Supposedly, it's
supposed to be better to squat, like just for that's what they say. It's it's less likely you're gonna get hemorrhoids and shit like that.
It's better for me to stop eating McDonald's, but I still fucking do it.
Yeah, like, it's true. It's,
yeah. A lot of things that are better for me that I don't do.
True. Why did we get on this topic?
I'm so sorry. This is my fault. It was on my mind, okay? And I thought if I didn't bring it up, I
was it on your mind this entire time?
It's been on my mind for like 3 days. I saw the men do it and I woke up thinking about it.
I'm also very used to just like shitting in a hole in the ground from like going camping in Australia because like-
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, we have long drops and it's just like, it's literally
that's
just-
No, that's just wells. You just do that anyway.
Yeah.
No, but when you go camping, you have no choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a hole leaves. In the ground, but it's like, it's not like a shallow hole in the ground. No, it's like a real fucking deep hole in the ground.
Oh, really? When we used to go camping, we'd dig a tiny hole and just fill it up.
Oh, no. Like, there was ones where it's like-
your shits? What are you doing?
No. It's like ones that are built into the campsite.
Oh.
Like in a cabin.
Oh, they made an outhouse.
Yeah, like an outhouse basically.
Without the outhouse.
Yeah, but it's like a wooden log cabin and you walk in and it's just a hole in the ground.
Yeah, that's an outhouse.
And you like put your torch in it and it's like, you can't see the bottom.
That's a fucking outhouse.
Yeah, that's an outhouse. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, and Lord. Yeah, I had to do those and actually, those are the worst.
Okay, this is the worst toilet experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it now. All right, so picture it, you're skiing. You have those damn fucking ski boots on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And so have you worn ski boots, Ashley? Or
You've worn them?
It is impossible to have precision movement in the ski boots, right?
You walk like a Roblox character.
Right. So you do. You walk like you're in Roblox. So the only option at this particular skiing place, for some reason, was a porta potty.
Okay.
Can you imagine a porta potty in ski boots? It doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
Because you need to sit down. You got to aim yourself. You got to have room to close the door. It's horrible, right? That was bad enough that it was a porta potty. I thought, oh my God, I got to use a porta potty and ski boots. Oh my God. I get in this porta potty. I think it was in, might've been Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get in this porta potty. I don't know how this has happened. There is toilet roll with shit on it, on the roof, on the sides, on every, it looks like some kind of, that someone has tried to use like ancient talismans of shit on this porta potty to get spirits away. It is, I immediately threw up when I got in there because I still needed to go. So I stuck with it. But right after I was done, I threw up. Yeah. It was so disgusting. I'd never seen anything like it. It was almost like a trap that they'd put there for tourists. It was like, fuck you, tourists, coming to our place. It was horrible, man. You go into this thing, it's tiny, right? You can barely sit there. Your ski boots barely fit in. So your knees are touching the door that also have shit on them. I don't know how this happened. To this day, I still don't know why this happened.
I apologize, viewers. You have to listen to this.
It's disgusting. It was, oh, God.
But that's what my toilets were
repressed
like.
Repressed that. That's why I flush the toilet now.
So yeah, that's why I never shat like when I was in high school. Too, because like my high school, because I went to an all boys school, right? So obviously, there's going to be some shit afoot, like in places there's going to be shit in places where there shouldn't be shit.
That was always the pranks, wasn't it?
It was always the pranks, and I'm like, guys, like we're not animals.
Yeah, people shitting in urinals.
I don't think there was ever a day where I went to the urinal there wasn't shit in it. Like it was actually disgusting.
Australia is a different country.
Yeah, I'm like
even in Southeast Asia.
It was fucking gross. I'm like, yeah. Never again. Why
are humans so disgusting?
I don't know. Why can we not fucking shit properly? Apparently.
Toilet training is a lie.
We've had 2,000 years to get this right.
Yeah. And we're still we're only one step ahead of
We're
just
still
throwing.
Shitting in the hole in the ground. God damn it.
How do we always talk about shitting? How does that happen?
I really didn't want to. I wanted to get away from it.
I feel sorry for anyone like fucking eating right now. I wanted
to get away from it. I didn't want Trash Taste to be the shitting podcast, but it also
it
was
is.
On my mind. It was on my mind.
Is the shitting podcast.
I'm done. No, there's no more shit now. Yeah. I promise we won't talk about shit for 10 episodes. Yeah.
Right? I ain't going to make that promise, man.
I promise we won't talk about it for 10
I'm
going
to bring it up first thing next episode.
No!
Just to break the
I
world.
Will not engage
just
in
to break the mold
of such uncivilized manners on this podcast. We are a civilized podcast.
Yeah.
With two Australians, one Australian and two Brits. Yeah. We should be civilized. That's what we are, right?
That's oxymoronic. All right. But you know who shits normally?
Oh my God. Here we go.
Our patrons. Oh. Look at them. Amazing.
They definitely don't because they watch us. They definitely fucking
don't. Bonus points if you're listening to this on the toilet. That's the true Trash Days experience right
Shout
there.
Out to all the Southeast Asian who knows about the hose bidet, who grew up fucking, that shit's still like fucking- like
gone whenever he needs to increase his popularity.
Yeah.
Hey, fellow Southeast Asians.
Hey, Southeast Asians. Am I right, Southeast Asians? Hey,
I'm just trying to bring the Southeast Asian culture to the mainstream. People need to know it's like, okay?
Fellow Southeast Asians, hello. Yeah. How are you doing?
How are you? But hey, if you'd like to support the show, then go to patreon.com/trashdays. Also follow us on Twitter, send us your memes on the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify.
Wow.
But yeah. God.
Thank you.
I love how Trash Taste, the only show where we can go from deep self-help conversation to how do you shit?
Yeah. I feel like we need to have like our like say monthly or bi-monthly therapy session with the boys and then we're like, okay.
And then immediately follow it up with poop talk.
And it's just like, all right, out of our system, great. Yeah. Back to poop.
God.
I'm sorry. That was really poor timing of me.
That's all right.
Oh, well.
It wouldn't be Trash Taste without it.
Well, thank you, patrons, and everyone else watching. Bye, guys, I guess.
Bye. Bye.